Tomorrow.com. Tomorrow's news today. From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones at alexjoneslive.com. You are the Paul Revere's. Share the links and spread the word. We've only just begun to fight.
It is Tuesday, September 8th. 2026. I am your host, Alex Jones, and we have an incredible transmission lined up for you today. Nick Fuentes is going to join me in the third and fourth hour to talk about the midterms that we're racing towards, what's happening geopolitically, the economy, the battle over the future of populism in America first, now that MAGA and all the numbers has been irrevocably destroyed. That's coming up. We have Victor Boot, who joins us every 2 weeks, joining us in the second hour with the incredibly dynamic situation, very fluid happening. Putin's officially come out and said that he talked to Trump after he met with Witkoff and others, and that he's not going to strike NATO targets inside of Europe off of what he was promised by Trump. And that is that the United States is going to even cut back further on telemetry and weapon systems to Ukraine. We've already seen some of that happening. So that's some really, really good news. Meanwhile, it's finally hitting the mainstream media. Europe's von der Leyen wants to put private bank deposits under state direction. Not just that, everything you've got, you won't own anymore. And that's the model for the rest of the world. President Trump signed an executive order for national security emergency on election integrity to prevent the rigging of 2026 midterms by foreign and domestic enemies. That is a big move to actually implement it. Republicans scramble to save Trump from major humiliation with this Republican mini convention they've got where they can't even give away the tickets. What's going on with Trump's hair? He has made it brown now. And if that shows he's trying to do a major rebrand, maybe he rebrands back to what he used to be. That would be something fabulous. Or it could mean he's rebranding into something even worse. But that's a big deal when somebody completely obsessed with image, who's had the same hairstyle for 40 years, the same Golden Eagle style for 20, wears the same suit as a uniform every day, changes his hair color. It's a big deal, not a big deal that he has a different hair color, but that he would make that decision. We'll be analyzing all of that. We also have Netanyahu ignored explicit warnings that Hamas was planning the attacks before October 7th, just days before, had a stand down. We told you that right after it happened. That's now hitting mainstream news during their election. Over there, we got some big poll numbers on Israel being even more unpopular globally than it was before, the most unpopular country in the world, and under Netanyahu's leadership, they just continue to intensify it. We have the giant uprisings that are happening, not just in the UK, with tens of thousands showing up at different ports where the government's bringing in all the Islamic invaders, but also in Europe proper. AfD continues to win election after election. Bolsonaro's son, who I've known and met, is a great guy, been in their Senate. He is way ahead of Lula in polls, the communist president of Brazil, so I'm sure they'll just arrest Bolsonaro's son. Very brave people, great people. But that just shows populism is rising. Communists are being thrown out of office all across Latin America. We'll be getting to that today. And just so much more. A bunch of AI news, a ton of news on what's happening with more and more American white women going completely psychotic. There's a big Bound report. Woke American women have become monsters. What caused that? Got big pandemic COVID, Bill Gates news, and so much more today. You'll definitely want to stay with us. You'll definitely want to, regardless, I know people are busy out there, can't watch the whole full show. Remember that within hours, actually during the show, we're already getting clips, but within hours of the show being over every day, the whole show's been cut up into chunks on the topics we covered, the different guests, and posted at alexjoneslive.com for your perusal, so you can share the news site, alexjoneslive.com, and on X at Real Alex Jones, and Rumble at rumble.com/ The Alex Jones Show Live. You're the Paul Revere's. Please share those links now. Back in 60 seconds.
Ladies and gentlemen, when you go to Freedom RX, you have to understand that it's about preserving health and upholding values. Your health, your business, nobody else's. The folks that own this are patriots. They first came to me 4 years ago wanting to do this. I agreed three. They had it built about a year ago. They kept adding to it. But going through all the stuff we went through, I wanted to wait till we had a new operation to launch it with this incredible sponsor. But now it's ready. There are so many incredible things. The very best testosterone, energy, muscle, libido, mood, sexual health, PT-141. Woo, look out. Talk about the true aphrodisiac. Oxytocin protocols for men and women, longevity, recovery, all the good peptides, the NAD, all of them. HIPAA compliant, your health information is 100% protected. They got everything. Go there now, and it supports this broadcast with the best doctors and nurses, the best backbone, the best people. Your health, your business, nobody else's. Go now to freedomrxhealth.com.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
It's Tuesday, the 8th day of September, 2026. I am your host, Alex Jones, and I humbly, with respect, ask you to weigh the situation we're in and realize we're in a total information war, and you've got all the power as the millions of listeners if you'll just share the live feeds at alexjoneslive.com, our news site, alexjoneslive.com/show, or just share the front page or the post that has the live show write-up for today's broadcast. Share that and tell those you share it to share it. And that creates the chain reaction. So this vital, critical information will be seen by more people. Tuesday, live. Europe in full revolt as populists sweep elections. Putin assures Trump no attacks on NATO members. That's good news. Huge news. Oil surges to 100 as Iran war intensifies. Huge developments there. Republicans scramble to save midterms as 47 attempts to rebrand. Plus, Nick Fuentes joins me today in the third and fourth hour, as well as Victor Boot next hour. But as I did massive research when I took off Sunday and Monday, a true rarity where I only work probably 5-6 hours a day on research. I normally work 15 to 18 hours a day on air and research, but I took pretty much as much time as I ever can make myself do Sunday and Monday to spend time with family. But I also cogitated, meditated, thought about what is the most important mission for this broadcast? And it's not to get caught up in the personality of Trump going sideways in some ways. It's not to get caught up in fighting with other people that are still, quote, loyal to this new change we've seen converting over to basically an AIPAC presidency. So much time is spent on that, and we need to spend time on it when there's breaking news and issues concerning it. We will today, but that I'm going to hit it hard, hit it strong, cover it, and then move on. I personally am not going to spend more than 30 minutes a day on the ongoing Israeli coup, because I can hit it strong, hit the newest information each day, and then also get into the cultural, social, spiritual rot that overall is the disease, the Chi-Coms, Israel, all these other forces trying to take over the West, is a byproduct of the disease. It's a symptom of the disease. And we do cover the social and cultural and spiritual disease, but not enough. So I want to start today with some of that. So I really prayed about it and thought about it a lot. Then we'll get into Israel and what it's up to and get that out of the way. And it's bad, but it's also good that it's being exposed. Netanyahu standing down on October 7th. That's now mainstream news. Of course, we knew it the day it happened. And I've had inside sources, you know, that have gone public, General Flynn, myself, and others, that first told us about it, that have since gone public, the head of their army and others, that he did stand down. That's coming up. We have good news with populists winning elections all over the world, particularly Europe, and surging to first place, not just in the presidential polls, but in the congressional polls in Brazil, with Bolsonaro's son in the lead while his dad languishes in prison for no reason. So
what the communists do is arrest their opposition. And then we have the really serious news on the economy and how it ties into everything that's happening and the accelerated dollar devaluation and the world moving away from the dollar. Really hardcore stack of news on that front. Trump has signed a new national emergency on top of his one for energy crisis and cyber attacks. Now he's got one for election integrity, prevent the rigging of the 2026 elections by foreign and domestic enemies. That's all coming up. And so much more today, the major physical uprisings where people are peacefully putting themselves in the way of the illegal alien UN government-sponsored boats slamming into every major coastal city on the southern and eastern side of the UK. Just not going to do the whole show with the dramatic videos. I sent the crew over 50 videos and articles about that. Just people now having enough, going and literally physically blocking them from getting off the boats and getting on the buses, and huge confrontations with the police attacking the peaceful people. Then they fight back. I mean, this is rebellion against replacement migration. But I wanted to look at some big social issues here first, and then talk about where the rot comes from in every Western nation and how we counter that. So the first thing I want to air is a John Bowne report. Woke American women have become monsters. And look at what the West was known for versus other countries. And we'll examine the cultures there and then talk about why the globalists want to get rid of classical Western Christendom, because it's antithetical and stands in the way of their godless world government, mark of the beast, cashless society system that we are now in the first serious phases of, and leaving the first phase soon, in my view, going into the second phase, full implementation, and then all the hell that follows through phase two and phase three, big stack of global digital currency, central bank digital currency rollout. Now the news finally covering what we covered last week when she said it last Monday, Europe's von der Leyen wants to put private bank deposits under state direction and more. It's all coming up. But first, where is the spiritual rot coming from, particularly manifesting in white liberal women, not just here, but around the world, from New Zealand to Germany to Canada to the United States? Here's John Bowne's report.
The spectacle unfolding around Lindsay Clancy after she murdered her three young children has exposed a raw nerve in the culture that no amount of pink t-shirts and I am Lindsay slogans can hide. Hundreds of women turned out at the courthouse and across social media to stand with the woman who ended the lives of Cora, Dawson, and Callan, framing the killings as the tragic result of a failed mental health system rather than an act that demands accountability.
We feel she's very sleep deprived. Her job as a labor and delivery nurse working night shifts and three children is
a lot.
I feel
like the system failed her. She was begging for help, but no one was there. I don't know if us being here will make her feel any better, but I mean, she's living in hell right now.
Just wanted to support Lindsay and just say it could be, you know, one of my sister-in-laws, it could be one of my best friends, and it could be me. So just here to support.
We are hearing her. We see that she tried everything. And I really do believe that she went into a state of psychosis.
The 8-month-old baby was born. The 3 and 5-year-old were in daycare full-time. Patrick took a 12-week paternity leave, and they hired a nanny to help with the newborn baby. After the 12-week leave was over, Patrick could see that Lindsay needed more help and support, so he decided to move his office into home and started working from home, so they decided they didn't need the nanny anymore because Patrick was going to stay home. And you guys are saying that this woman had no support? That is false.
Her behavior was calm and cooperative?
Yes.
Didn't see anything about her behavior that would indicate to you that she was responding to some type of voices or hallucination that you couldn't see?
Not during my evaluation.
Did you speak to Ms. Clancy again? During that meeting, she denied suicidal intent, correct?
That's correct.
She denied homicidal intent, correct?
Yes.
She denied having auditory or visual hallucinations, correct?
Yes.
She reported her mood as okay, is that correct?
Yes.
And she told you she was looking forward to moving to Spalding, correct?
Yes.
She also denied any confusion or disorientation, is that correct?
Yes.
You described her mood as okay on that day?
Yes.
And you described her as future-oriented on that day?
Yes.
You wrote that the patient reported feeling down about her current situation, her paralysis, and the events leading up to her hospitalization. Is that correct?
Yes.
And you also noted she said her thoughts about what she had done were not constant throughout the day, correct?
Correct.
So she wasn't thinking about killing her children throughout the day, every day, correct?
Correct.
Ordinary observers have pointed out that the children themselves have been all but erased from the conversation, while Clancy is recast as the primary victim. An inversion producing genuine outrage. The systematic destruction of three innocent lives as secondary to one woman's suffering.
She admits it. Everyone admits it. It's all on record. She was on all these psychotropic drugs that can contribute to that. So if you want to blame them partially, that's fine. But you know, at the end of the day, she gets the main blame. And there's lots of cases of men killing their kids by strangling them. They all get, I see cases, you know, every few years, there's a lot of them, you know, stacked up over time of where dads have killed 3-4 kids by strangulation the same way. And they get the death penalty. They get death row.
I believe that women are disproportionately, as a sex, disproportionately destroying this country. And I also believe that it is enabled by weak men. So I want to be very clear. I'm not attacking women. I'm attacking both sexes. But we attack men, and rightly so, all the time for excessive aggression, violence, sexual predation, as we should. But we never, ever criticize women for their errors, for their sex-specific flaws, which are largely uncontrolled, uncontained emotion, which explodes and leaks out into horribly destructive areas, such as the sexual mutilation and hormonal castration of young children, most of whom are girls, and most of which is led by women. Women therapists, women teachers, women surgeons, women clinical directors, women politicians, women legislators. Even mothers in families are largely driving this, not men, not fathers. Of course, the fathers, they're just standing around letting it happen. So I'm not saying that they're guiltless or blameless, but I'm saying they're not stepping up. And we need strong, ethical men to stand up and to contain the excesses of what I would call toxic femininity.
Many of those questioning the supporters are other women and mothers who reject the idea that shared struggles with anxiety or depression create a license to excuse the unthinkable. The result is a seismic shift that refuses to be ignored, instead opening up the conversation of an entire country plagued by mental illness fueled by the George Soros injustice system. John Bowne reporting for the Alex Jones Network at alexjoneslive.com.
Nick Fuentes is joining us coming up at 1 p.m. Central. That's going to be very informative. Be sure and join us and share the word that he's joining us. The slow death of traditional families in America. More than 20% of non-college grads are raising their kids alone. Whenever we would criticize this, people going back 60, 70 years as the nuclear family began to break up, people would say, oh, you're attacking single mothers or single fathers. No, we aren't. A lot of them are great, work really hard, but the statistics are clear depending on what era and what area and region. It's the same in Europe, same all over the world, same in Africa, same in Asia, same in Latin America. A one-parent home, the child is 3 to 5 times more likely to end up in prison, 5 to 10 times more likely to end up being a drug addict, 3 or 4 times more likely to end up being mentally ill, having all sorts of problems, and many times more likely, depending on the study, but they all show it, to not be successful in business and to be poor. And when LBJ wrote his letters that are at his library, here in Austin, Texas, they're in the archives, they're public, you pull up copies of them online. He says, we're going to break up these black people. They got too uppity. I'm going to have these N-words voting Democrat for 200 years. And blacks, on average, you can look this up, had the lowest level of illegitimacy. They were extremely Christian. And under the pressure of Jim Crow, that was wrong, but that which doesn't kill you makes you stronger when you know it's an attack. Like lifting weights or hiking up a mountain, you just get stronger. You don't get weaker. They had their own doctors, own universities, own hotels, own libraries, own everything. Oh, I can't use your restaurant? I'll just make my own. I got to go in the back? No, I'll just make my own hotel. And my dad, growing up, you know, in Texas, when he'd go to Dallas and Houston when he was a little kid, and Jim Crow was still somewhat in place, he said that blacks were pretty much all wearing suit and ties and had their own businesses and everything else. And then by the 80s, it was all gone. As anybody that's been around knows. And that's the microcosm of this, taking men out of the house, then putting out gangster rap, funded by the CIA on record, to make young black men that didn't have a father in the home think that gang leaders were their fathers. And the same psychology works on Hispanics, Asians, whites. It's a formula. They know what they're doing. And notice since USAID had most of its funding cut, the billions they put into RAP every year, RAP's off the charts, not in the charts anymore. It's not off the charts high, it's off the charts low. Then you add what I call suicide mass murder pills. Since the early 90s, all of the psychotropics, serotonin reuptake inhibitors, antidepressants as they're known, say on the label can cause suicidal ideations, megalomania, lashing out, violence, mass murder. And so you then take these women, there's no man, there's no rudder, there's no direction, they get on all these benzos, they're drinking alcohol on top of it, they're told they're victims, and then now the culture promotes women killing their kids. You've had hundreds of copycats in Europe and the United States. There's new ones every day. And these women are saying, I killed my kids because of Lindsey Clancy. She's a hero. She's a great person. So they're not just not taking responsibility. This is the new move. And there's all these doctors and nurses and psychologists and psychiatrists saying, oh, yeah, it's true. You don't know what it's like to be a woman. You don't know. Why was it so ultra rare for women to kill their kids before? And now it's happening everywhere. It's like until we had suicide by cop, it wasn't even known to exist. Once suicide by cop started, other people said, oh, I'm not going to kill myself. I'm going to go pull guns on people and shoot at cops, maybe take a few of them with me. This happened when they finished the Empire State Building. One lady jumped off famously, famous photo of her with her lipstick still on. She fell on the top of a car, broke a lot of the falls. So she's all beautiful, laying there dead. In fact, type in famous photo of woman still wearing lipstick who fell from the Empire State Building. And literally was in the newspapers. Suddenly they had dozens a week trying to kill themselves the way she did. And they had to put up all these nets and stuff at the top so you couldn't do it. These are highly suggestible people. Women are more suggestible than men. That's why most advertising targets women. Women are, 10 times more likely to go under Stockholm syndrome with their abusers, believing their abusers are taking care of them. It's how pimps operate. And so women have been targeted. Women have been scrambled. We can go into 10 hours on why this is the case. But mom obsessed with Lindsey Clancy, accused of killing 2-year-old son, told investigators he was the Antichrist. Saw all these women saying, you ever been around a toddler? They are the Antichrist. All these women ranting, I almost killed my kids too. So the left says, don't spank your kids, don't discipline them, but go ahead and kill them. And then countless videos every day I see of white women particularly saying they're witches, going to these retreats, becoming possessed, witchcraft's off the chart with them. Here's just a video right here. We've got a woman becoming possessed. They pay for this. They go to these events to be part of this. You've got, again, here's a homicide prevention unit, Scotland Yard, the head of it, talking about how this is no big deal to do this to your kids. I can just go on and on and on and on with this. So this is spiritual sickness at the bottom of this. And I'm not just singling out women. It happens to men in different ways. And men are certainly just as sick on average now as women. We need God. We need family. We need basics. We need to get back to that. Now, here's an example that is absolutely illustrative of everything that we're talking about. And this is par for the course at these Democrat Socialists of America events, Democrat events, where they say, don't be healthy, don't exercise, that's a white man's thing. Mathematics is racist. Spelling correctly is racist. Speaking well, having a job, being successful. They want you controlled, they want you on welfare, okay? They want you to give up. They want you to be demoralized. And so we've got a clip right here with this breakdown that has got to be one of the craziest clips ever, but it's really par for the course, where the speakers are up there, and they're speaker after speaker, we'll just play one of them, saying the system wants you to be healthy because that makes you more valuable. Don't be valuable. That's how we'll bring the system down. So the Clarendon pivot is so crazy to collapse society, collapse yourself as a suicide bomber, to be so unhealthy you overwhelm the healthcare system and collapse society. Don't work. Don't have a job. You're contributing to an evil system. That's why 90%+ of Muslims work in their own countries. They don't put up with that. But in Europe and the United States and Canada, upwards of 90% of Muslims don't ever get jobs. The upwards of 90% of the rapes in places like Europe are them. And they say, I'm here to suck you dry. I'm here to bring you down. I'm not here to contribute. In video after video after video after video. I hate this place. I want to bring down America. I hate this place. I want to bring down Canada or Germany. This is the leftist, globalist, satanic mindset to not contribute and to just suck. The devil is never a maker. He only takes. So here's this bizarre clip, but it's bizarre to us, but this is part of the course. Remember the big Islamic guy running for Congress up in Michigan? I played the clip on Saturday. He said, the cult of hard work is evil and bad, and working is not good. I mean, it's a quote. The cult of work is bad. Working is bad. You're not going to be successful. Don't work. Just give up. Put on a nightgown. Get on welfare. Put your wife in a beekeeper suit. Have 15 kids. That's their model. So here's the club.
The more dysgenic, the better. What is this here? Wait, what? At Socialism 2026, fitness is a measure of relative disposability under capitalism. Oh, this is going to be good.
You have to give up the fantasy of being fitter than the fascists. It's not just that it's cringe or strategically bad, though it is.
Yeah, Fatty over here is loving it.
Yeah, true, true. We can't beat him.
I think it's also politically revealing. Fitness is a measure of relative disposability under capitalism. Our task is not to become less disposable.
What do you think that people like? So do you think somebody who was fit or somebody who wasn't fit would be the person who you're going to have working a field in 1600? Was ancient Greek capitalist? Well, then why were all the statues of men that are in really good shape? Like, so we just invented capitalism, at least as a term, in the last few hundred years, but we have statues from like 1,000 or 2,000 years ago of people that were being fit. So what are you even talking about here?
To become more useful to the ruling order. What we all need to be doing is rejecting disposability in all of its forms. The point is not to beat the fascists at their own game.
Yeah.
It is not to lay a better claim on their own territory by being fitter, more eugenic. In fact, the more dysgenic, the better. I think.
All right, pause. Back it up because this is a little bit longer. We got to go to break and come back with the rest of it. She says making yourself less disposable, and that is the globalist move, but that doesn't run everything. They are trying to say you're obsolete, you're non-essential if you don't have a particular job. Well, just because they want to replace humans and phase us out, you need to be stronger, smarter, have more skills, teach your children that, promote a pro-human system with your choices. No, she says, be a fat slob with no job, which makes you more disposable and makes you easy to dispose of and weak. So she's literally saying, be a weak, disconnected blob, taking all the poison shots, eating all the GMO, living in a 200-square-foot coffin apartment so the globalists can win, kill your kids. That's how we beat the globalist eugenicists that want to make us disposable, is by making ourselves pure garbage and totally worthless. And then the left everywhere is pushing government-forced euthanasia, which is out-and-out murder, with people that are then totally confused and depressed because they have no skills, they have no will, they have no job, they have no future, they have no life force. This is exactly everything I've talked about. They're trying to take your life force so you give up and roll over. Oh, we're killing the earth. We all need to kill each other. Looking for the end of humanity. We got to depopulate. There's too many of us. Give up. It's also, you roll over and die, they can take over and control. I mean, it is the most incredible clip. We'll come back with the rest of it. Back in about 25 seconds. When we come back, share the live feeds. We're not giving up. We're getting stronger. The globalists are getting weaker. Share the live feeds right now at AlexJonesLive.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I get a little busy around here fighting the globalists. But I noticed a couple weeks ago on our product shelf here at the Alex Jones Network Studios, this huge bag, Superfood Greens Gummies. So I called Bigley and I said, well, what are these? Well, they're a private label of a top concentrated green gummy maker. And then I talked to them more and they said, yeah, we're selling for about half price what anybody else does. And we decided to make it the biggest bag and the most of these you get anywhere. So if you're a subscriber, you get it for 50. It's like 69 bucks if you're not. They sell this very same product for 50 bucks a bottle that's half the size of this. That's the group we private label it from. It's sold in major stores. Now, this has every vitamin, every mineral. It's got a bunch of super enzymes, a bunch of high-tech probiotics. It's just crazy. We'll show you the label on the back of the blow-up. Now, obviously, I've already been eating out of this, but only a few of the packets. Take a look at this, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, so these are daily doses here. There's 30 of these, but this is a massive dose. This is 7 gummies in each one, so technically, you could really go, for me, 2 months on this, because this has more nutrients, more good stuff in it than a big old giant salad with all sorts of vegetables on it.
all these are concentrated. Just look at that, ladies and gentlemen. So get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. It is amazing. They taste great. They're really strong, though. Just let it dissolve in your mouth for better absorption, and it funds their operation. They've also got the same gummies for kids that are tailored for them. So be sure and check this out at thealexjonesstore.com and realize this is a win-win situation for everybody. Because even if you're eating big salads and vegetables all day, a lot of it's caught up in the fiber of it, which is great for your guts, but you don't absorb it all. With these, it's concentrated. You get way higher levels of absorption, especially if you let it dissolve in your mouth. And then it funds our operation against the globalists as we dissolve their new world order. But be sure and check out the adult superfood green gummies and the ones for kids. But quite frankly, ones for kids are great for adults. The ones for adults are great for kids. It's all interchangeable. And while you're on the site, check out all the other amazing items that are there, like the Shilajit. We have it in liquid. We have it in gummies. We have it in pills. The Irish Sea Moss, same thing. It's something like a regular serving of those. It's 30 grams of Irish Sea Moss, a giant bowl of it, but all concentrated. Not just the regular vitamins and minerals, but organic iodine that's so good for your body, and just a whole bunch of other amazing things. We don't sell anything that doesn't really work. And it funds our operation, a true 360 win. It's simple. I'm only going to sell you stuff that really, really works, so you want to get it again and again and again. So get your superfood green gummies for adults and children now at thealexjonesstore.com. And while you're there, be sure to become a VIP for $30 a month. You instantly get $40 to spend in the store, special deals, special offers, and extra sales on top of everything. If you're buying anything at thealexjonesstore.com, become a VIP and check out the widest selection of Patriot apparel, some of the very best designs, t-shirts, ball caps, hoodies, sweaters, you name it, at thealexjonesstore.com. I want to thank all the viewers and listeners for being the reason we're on the air. It has been your amazing support that has allowed all the success against the globalists. But we have just begun to fight. We're launching the next level of the info war at alexjoneslive.com. So be sure and check out our news site as well. And follow me on X at Real Alex Jones. But whatever you do, go now to thealexjonesstore.com and get these gummies because they're impressive, they're amazing, and they're good for you. And they fund an operation that's good for humanity in the face of the globalist death cult, Bill Gates, and the New World Order. Thank you so much. Now take action now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Now that's how you stick it to the globalists. Tastes like pure victory, baby! TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
We are on the march. The Empire is on the run. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Well, one of the funniest and smartest talk shows out there, Asmund Gold, really said it right. This is the craziest clip he's ever seen, except he must not have been looking because I've seen a bunch of these. We played clips recently where trying to put healthy food in black neighborhoods is slavery. They had hearings with Kennedy's experts last year and this year, and I've played clips where the Democrat Congress people, white and black, go, "You're racist. How dare you say that Mountain Dew and Twinkies isn't healthy? That's black culture." What? I mean, those are literal quotes. And then the speakers go, "Well, we've got even double the diabetes in the black community compared to the white community, and we've got all these problems, and it's, a lot of it's linked to this food." They're like, "You're being racist trying to take our this and that away from us." And then it's rich black people and white people that are in Congress saying this, where even when you try to just communicate information to the public that'll make them healthier, when government goes from literally trying to poison and dumb you down and kill you to some of the folks in the administration doing a good job on this, they completely freak out. And all over the place, this is one of the main issues that they cover. Before we go back to this clip, here's another article out of Fox News. From just yesterday, Socialism 2026 speaker slams diet industry for policing black fat flesh, calls it body fascism. And you heard her say, you know what, let's see it all in context. Start it over. We only got halfway into the clip. It's only 3 minutes long. Listen to what she says. The power structure
wants you to be valuable as a commodity to them. And so you need to be as dysgenic, as worthless, and not have a job, and be as fat and unhealthy as possible so you're not contributing to the capitalism. Now, are there predators in the globalist system? Yeah, and they want to poison us all. They want to dumb us down. They want us to give up. They want us to believe we're bad, that we're killing the earth so we don't have kids. That's not even what they're pushing. So they take the globalist position of wanting to dumb us down and poison us so they can shuffle us off the stage and get us to surrender. And then their answer is being as unhealthy as possible and having no skills and teaching 2 plus 2 equals 5 in school and two men can have a baby and there's no X and Y chromosomes. This is just so outrageous till you realize this is the mainline program from the communist and the socialist and the left. Everything they're doing is to break us down. No, you need to have more skills. You need to be as healthy as possible. Take care of yourself and your family. You need not give in to their tyranny to break your will. You need to make yourself as valuable as possible. They want to make you obsolete. They want to replace your jobs with computers and robots and the rest of it. All you got to do is build human systems, support locally built and grown. And it is happening. People are rejecting AI. People are rejecting robots. People are rejecting all this, not because it's bad in and of itself, but the way it's been deployed. The New World Order is super unpopular. Their little robot kiosk at the airport are going out of business. I see the numbers where they'll do a test grocery store that's all self-checkout and it completely collapses. Then there, a lot of the grocery stores like HEB are shifting back to having more checkers and phasing out the self-checkouts. They built a new Michaels very close to my house, art supply place. They don't have any checkout people. It's all computers. I never went back. The little Michaels down the road, mom and pop, has lines out the door. Was there a month ago, talked to the manager. They said, yeah, we have more business than ever. People are coming here, even though we have a third of the selection, instead of the Michaels mega store, just 5 miles away, because they want to talk to humans. They don't like it. They know instinctively it's to replace them. But according to this lady, still wearing her mask in 2026, breathing in all the carbon dioxide, breathing in all the bacteria that grow in them with the other cult members up there, wearing a mask, going along with all the corporate propaganda while she says they're fighting the corporations when the corporations couldn't be happier about what they're doing. So let's go ahead and play the clip in its entirety. Listen to this.
The more dysgenic, the better. What is this here? Wait, what? At Socialism 2026, fitness is a measure of relative disposability under capitalism. Oh, this is going to be good.
You have to give up the fantasy of being fitter than the fascists. It's not just that it's cringe or strategically bad. Though it is.
Yeah, Fatty over here is loving it.
Yeah, true, true. We can't beat him.
I think it's also politically revealing. Fitness is a measure of relative disposability under capitalism. Our task is not to become less disposable.
What do you think that people like? So do you think somebody who was fit or somebody who wasn't fit would be the person who you're going to have working a field in 1600? Was ancient Greek capitalist? Well, then why were all the statues of men that are in really good shape? Like, so we just invented capitalism, at least as a term, in the last few hundred years, but we have statues from like 1,000 or 2,000 years ago of people that were being fit. So what are you even talking about here?
To become more useful to the ruling order. What we all need to be doing is rejecting disposability in all of its forms. The point
The point is destroy yourself like a suicide bomber, but slowly. Commit suicide slowly. That's how you hurt the establishment. When the establishment says there's too many people, people are garbage, let's phase out humans and have a post-human world, and she's got a sippy cup, she's got a water bottle on her table that's got some occultic symbolism on it, and it says death panel. That's Bill Gates. That's what the left pushes, is killing people. Eugenics. That's what her system pushes, and she's up there telling you what she's pushing, how great it is to cue yourself up to be forcibly euthanized. Continue.
That we're being fit. So what are you even talking about here?
To become more useful to the ruling order. What we all need to be doing is rejecting disposability in all of its forms. The point is not to beat the fascists at their own game.
Yeah.
It is not to lay a better claim on their own territory by being fitter, more eugenic. In fact, the more dysgenic, the better, I think.
The more dysgenic, the better. So basically, we want you to look and act retarded because being normal is helping the enemy.
Revolution is not a contest between optimized and properly prepared bodies.
Yeah.
That idea is fascist in and of itself.
Uh-huh.
And erases the history of left struggles around the world.
Oh my God.
The political deployment of GLP-1s is fascistic.
For context, GLP-1s are weight loss drugs like Ozempic.
Not because individuals take them, but because the conditions under which they become necessary are shaped by a world fixated on genociding fat people. This is a structural critique that asks what happens when the conditions produced by capitalism, by public health, by the state apparatus, and by anti-black desire align around a single bodily ideal that leaves little to no room for divergence and punishes any body that does. Whereas earlier diet drugs were often associated with vanity or addiction, GLP-1s are positioned as responsible medicine, promising relief rather than restraint. But to understand why the deployment of GLP-1s is fascistic requires turning to Frantz Fanon's account of black flesh under colonial surveillance.
I couldn't even invent something this stupid. Like, I could sit in my room and I could be spending all day imagining, okay, what's the dumbest way that I can portray somebody that I don't like? And I couldn't even come close to this. Weight loss pills are Nazis, yes.
Necessary are shaped by a world fixated on genociding fat people.
Genociding fat people. Genociding fat people is making them lose weight. It's just, there is something that is profoundly wrong with these people. There really is. The Freuds have gone wild. Well, it's a socialism convention, right? I mean, I think it's even more, I would say a socialism convention is more embarrassing than a furry convention. Going to an event like this, it's like I would rather wear a fursuit so nobody would know that I was actually there.
But this is not just the Democrat Socialists of America. This is what's pushed by corporate America. Be fat, be unhealthy, same thing in Europe. They want you weak, they want you stupid. Dysgenic means the opposite of healthy, doing well, having a good future, having a healthy family. It's the opposite of natalism. Dysgenic is a adjective that means causing or tending to cause a deterioration in the hereditary and genetic qualities of future generations. So black people, hurt your genetic future, eat all these poisons, pass it on to your children. That's how you beat the man, when the man is the one pushing all of this. So you sell it like you're fighting the establishment with Hassan Piker up there on the stage. Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. But I'll say this about Ozempic and the rest of it. There's all these great peptides that are copies of what humans make, that do all sorts of incredible things and have amazing promise. They ignore all that. And they bring you an synthesized one from a Gila monster that is in northern Mexico and into the northern southwest that bites you and oozes poison out of its teeth that paralyzes your stomach. But it's worse than that. That's only part of Ozempic and the other ones. They also mix in the toxin that's on the teeth of the anglerfish. That's the nightmare-looking fish, thousands of feet under the water, that has the light on the end of its head so that fish come up thinking it's plankton to eat, phytoplankton, and then it eats them. It's the toxin on its teeth. Sometimes it bites a fish, the fish gets away, but then the fish gets sick and die, and it follows it and then eats it. That's what you're putting in your body. So it is actually a depopulation weapon. It does wither the muscles in the heart. That's why I got so pissed when I lost 70 pounds. I've gained about 10 back. Now I'm losing it again. From intermittent fasting, basically not a pure Atkins diet, but you know, kind of a caveman diet, and working out hard. And they said, no, that's Ozempic. I didn't want that lie to encourage other people to take it. I've got friends, old and young, that have taken it, and they look like zombies. They get really sick. They lose energy from it. One person had to go to the hospital because the entrance from their stomach to their upper intestine closed. I mean, it's absolutely terrible. Now, there is some studies that low levels of it can do some interesting stuff to reverse diabetes and do some different brain chemistry. But at the same time, watch out before you take any of that. But absolutely insane. You know, the globalists want us sick. They want us fat. They want us dead. Now, let's shift gears looking at not just the sick twisting of the globalist mad scientist culture that they've sold us, but let's talk about Islam. Islam takes quotes out of the Old Testament, Muhammad does, and says slavery is good, we're going to keep slavery. And it was Christianity in the world that phased out slavery in most places, but there are more than 10 Muslim countries where slavery is still legal. And one of those is the massively populated country of Pakistan, where you don't just have slavery for people that owe debts, you have generational slavery of whole families. And you can go to these countries in Africa and in Central Asia, and you can witness this for yourself. So just when you see Western culture being demonized and the big corporations and Islam and all these groups trying to erase it, it's because those values and egalitarian freedom and classical liberalism, not modern liberalism, stands in the way of their tyranny. So a reporter traveled to Pakistan to free a family of 12 who've been enslaved for over 100 years because they couldn't pay off their debt. How do you think sharecropping worked? It wasn't phased out until about 150 years ago. They called it feudalism in Europe, serfs. You're in debt. You never get out of debt. Your family is in debt. You're born into the debt. You are slaves to the land. And they keep you in the slavery by making you buy your goods and things from the company store. So this is an incredible video out of Pakistan. You can look this up for yourself. Here's a clip.
Today, we are paying off the debt of this family that's been in slavery for about 100 years. It's a family of 12, and they are going to be free in the name of Jesus. Make sure to follow and see their journey. Today, we are paying off the debt of this family that's been in slavery for about 100 years. It's a family of 12. And they are going to be free in the name of Jesus. Make sure to follow.
All right. We're moving quick here, but when we upload the full show to X and Rumble and to AlexJonesLive.com, we'll get the full report and put it there for you for the interest of time so you can find that and see that. It is amazing. And there are a lot of influencers, people that are going to Africa and freeing Muslim slaves. They're going to Pakistan and doing it. In fact, I've seen hundreds of these videos over the years. This just illustrates how crazy this is when Islam is lecturing us about how we're barbarous and we're bad and the rest of it. It's simple garbage. Now, I want to get into the economy and what's happening to the dollar and how it ties into the Strait of Hormuz and those huge developments, but we'll do that with Victor Boot coming up. Let's talk about Israel right now. Netanyahu's in the middle of another election. He's been in and out of power for 26 years. Netanyahu stood down on October 7th for 7.5 hours. That's now hitting the Israeli newspapers years after we first broke it. There's major heat on him. And the polls are out. Israel's even more unpopular than they were just a month ago. But that debate that aired last week with myself, Will Chamberlain, and others has gone particularly viral. And I thought I would just play a short clip from it that actually shows you Section 219 of the NDAA 2027. And illustrates this, and they sit there, all of them did this. It goes on for like 15 minutes, the full exchange, and play just a few minutes of it. And they act like deer in the headlights and can't respond. They just say, really? Oh, come on, that's not true. You expect us to believe that? No facts, no information. Well, you can go read the subsections for yourself. So I want to start off with this clip where I destroy Mr. Deer in the Headlights, Will Chamberlain, with the facts. Here it is.
First off, I mean, it's R&D cooperation. And, I mean, Israel is a leader in cybersecurity technology, in drones, and missile defense, obviously, given how much they've been defending themselves. We want the benefit of that technology for ourselves. The idea that there's no other countries that are, like, have this sort of integration is wrong. That's Five Eyes. This isn't, and really the whole concept that this is like some sort of merger is just like Soros funded nonsense coming from the Quincy Institute, right? Like they're the people behind most of this stuff. The head of the Quincy Institute, she was the head of George Soros's foreign policy operation for a decade before she went there. And now they're like putting out via responsible statecraft stuff like the Israeli and U.S. militaries are merging. They're not, right? There's no merger of the chains of command.
It's R&D. It's our most sensitive technology.
And it's their most sensitive technology, too, that we get the benefit
from. We don't give them unfettered access.
We give them intelligence, not R&D from DARPA, right down to telemetry and satellite directives. It says it creates a special office that is only oversaw by the president, and it talks about mergers, integration, live time of everything to the entire chain. And you talk about, oh, Soros is behind this. Soros is upset. The Pentagon, 2 days after it passed out of committee in the House, now passed the full House, is at the Senate, unprecedented, literal coup over our most sensitive stuff. The Pentagon, the Defense Intelligence Agency, joined by six other agencies, said Israel is now the highest level national security threat for infiltration and spying and espionage. Are they controlled by George Soros? It says over and over again in 219. And there's a Senate bill that Senator Cotton's supporting that integrates all the intelligence as well. That's also in section 219. So to say that, oh, they've got some missile systems. Netanyahu wrote letters to the committee chairman thanking him for including his language that he wrote then section 224, now section 219. Netanyahu wrote the section that literally says that this individual is co-equal to the Secretary of Defense and can merge everything in live time. You don't believe me.
I've not heard any of this. You create a cabinet. They're creating a cabinet position?
No, it creates a special officer within the Pentagon who is only reports to Congress once a year and to the president, and who has and who cannot be challenged, it says, by any other Pentagon head. Word for word, don't believe me, go to the NDAA, Defense Authorization Act 2027, now in the U.S. Senate, and read Section 219. Do not believe me.
Okay. I mean, I doubt that, but I will, you know, we don't have it in front of us.
It says no other department head can even question them.
Okay.
But even just the concept, if there's something that we like that the Israelis are doing in, you know, counter-drone, counter-missile technology, then we can come up with a unilateral contract where we say, hey, we're going to work together on this one project. Yes. The unfettered access is just a major mistake for us to do. If any country, but especially a country that's led us off into war.
Yeah, it's got to be unilateral. Piece by piece is fine. But I mean, that, look, Israel
but
doesn't
do
want us to give
framing,
new fighters
though.
To Turkey. I mean, but think about this. Israel, anything they contribute to, they co-own. Netanyahu says, we won't need your money anymore because we'll be merged with your military industrial complex. We got a big enough problem having our own government running that, much less is plus Israel won't be a 51st state. Israel will be co-equal in this.
And that's the facts, ladies and gentlemen. Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. So Netanyahu ignored explicit warnings Hamas was planning terrifying operation 10 days before October 7th attack report. It's out in the Israeli news. They've got top generals and others going public. He was secretly funding them. Haaretz is reporting, doubled their funding right before the attacks. It's got links to all the different Israeli newspapers, Jerusalem Post, you name it. All for you, right there in this Mediaite article, told you that the day it happened. Let's go to this quick breakdown on Israel and how popular it is in the polls, not just internationally, but here in the United States, record time lows. Here it is.
General electorate, look at these numbers on Israel, the net favorability. They're all negative. They're all negative. Ipsos, minus 10 points. Fox, minus 11 points. MU, Marquette University Law School Law poll. Look at that, minus 20 points. Pew Research Center, minus 23 points. Negative, 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 negative. And Gallup early this year was also negative. We're not just talking about the Democratic base anymore. We're talking about the general electorate as well. The general electorate has turned against Israel. This is not just a left issue. It is an American issue when it comes to opinions on Israel.
What's the trend line here?
What's the trend line here? The trend line is unbelievable. Look at the trend line here. Compare this to Donald Trump's first term. At this point in Donald Trump's first terms, Israel's average net favorability.
Wow.
You go back here. Look at this. It was plus 51 points. Wow, Johnny says. Wow, Johnny says, because this is what, plus 51. It's minus 16 points in the average poll now. That is what, a 67-point shift against Israel in just 8 years. Israel used to be a consensus issue in American politics, and that was a pro-Israeli position. Now the consensus has actually shifted, and now when it comes to general electorate, it is a minus. Israel is now seen negatively, and we're seeing it in poll after poll after poll.
You just had this vote in the House where 100 Democrats voted against military assistance to Israel. How is that specific issue seen right now?
Yeah, you said wow, right? How about wow again? Take a look here. I never thought I'd see the day. Military assistance to Israel say U.S. should reduce or end it. Overall, 55% say they should reduce or end it. And it is true across the educational spectrum. 51% of non-college graduates, 62% of college graduates. So this isn't just an issue right among white liberals in Democratic primaries. No, no, no. This is true across the educational divide. Even when we are looking towards a general electorate, the majority of Americans believe that military assistance to Israel should either be reduced or ended.
And the numbers are sliding now. Even in boomers are turning against Israel. Not going well with their eight-front war propaganda. It needs to stop. Israel needs to cool its heels and stop all these activities. Now, we're going to go to break. Victor Boot on the latest in Iran. Huge. Iran blowing up ships. U.S. blowing up ships. Straits still closed. What's happening to the economy? We'll look at the dollar. We'll look at what's happening with Russia. Big developments with Putin announcements about not striking Europe. Really good news. It's all coming up. In the next hour, please stay with us. Remember, you're the Paul Revere's. That's how we reach new people. Share the live feed at alexjoneslive.com/show, or just share the front page and say, here's the forbidden information. Tell those you share it with to share it as well. That is so important. Thank you. Separately, funding our operation is key. We make it easy with the very best products you're going to get anywhere at thealexjonesstore.com. The very best ultramethylene blue, the very best concentrated green gummies, the very best bovine colostrum, the very best Shilajit, the very best iodine, T3, the widest selection and the best designs of Patriot apparel of every genre, angle, humor, Christian, nationalist, classic 1776 gear. It's all there. Ball caps, widest selection, thealexjonesstore.com, and that's how we fund this operation. Awesome tactical fanny packs, all sorts of other really cool stuff at very low prices, but the supplements particularly really work. We have a 90%+ reorder on all of them. Methylene Blue's up at 94%. Nobody has that. It works so well. And we are extending part of the huge mega sale for a limited time. Every order, period, gets a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss gummies. They have 93 trace elements, vitamins, minerals, and the very best organic delivered iodine. So good for you and your family, adults, children. Everybody needs it. A free bottle, a $40 value. That's at retail. We use it for $29. Free with every order. That is going to end very, very soon in the next few days. Every order above $99 gets a free tub of the highest quality beef tallow, super healthy and delicious cooking oil. That is another super big deal, and so much more at thealexjonesstore.com. And don't forget 1776rx.health, 1776rx.health, where you can get the Membenzadol with ivermectin, anti-parasitic, and more from a doctor right now at 1776rx.health. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I wanted to show you this because this is a spectacular product that funds our operation. And if you look at the private label that Bigley got for this new Optimal Human Greens, the adult one is really great and super concentrated, and like a couple gummies is each pack's like the equivalent of a whole bunch of giant salads and bowls of fruits and, you know, everything else. I mean, this thing is just full of individual daily packs of seven gummies each. But this is the one that's really cool that I'm going to have for my 9-year-old. My other kids are already grown up and out of the house. This is the Greens Gummies for Kids. This doesn't just have every vitamin and mineral with your daily allowance or above it. This has a whole bunch of superfoods, probiotics, and then magnesium, just B12, everything else. This is insane. Absolutely wild. Super concentrated gummies. Whole food vegetables, whole food fruits, vitamins and minerals, antioxidants, gut health probiotics, and so much more. Very exciting. Look, when you open it up, it's great for their lunchbox. Look at all this. Look at all this. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Perfect to put in your backpack. Perfect to put, you know, just in your coat so you don't forget to take it. But the best thing to do is just take it in the morning. But regardless, when you're on the go, your 18-wheeler, whatever, the adult and the children's are amazing. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Yummy! yummy gummies. Gummies good for you. Crunch-o!
Hi-ya!
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
On a cold and rainy night, I was sitting in the light of my switchman's shack, a mile post on the mountain. The storm was pretty bad and the telephone was dead, but it was just 11 hours till the dawn. Then much to my surprise, the telegraph jumped into life. As I read the code, I thought, could this be true? A train was on its way, headed up the mountain grade, but she didn't have no engineer or crew. At the other switch, they tried to put her on the mountainside, but she kept
coming up at 6 after when 400-plus stations join us. Live exclusive, Russian insider Victor Boot responds to latest NATO-Putin developments, Kremlin's new diplomatic freeze against Germany, Moscow insisting it can achieve military objectives in Ukraine. Putin has said he's not planning to hit NATO targets now inside Russia for now after meeting with Witkoff and others. That's all coming up. We'll look at the latest huge escalations in the Middle East with Iran, them striking ships, us striking ships, what that's doing to the dollar, and more with Victor Boot coming up. Be sure and go to X and share the live feeds now at Real Alex Jones and at rumble.com/ The Alex Jones Show Live and the live feeds at alexjoneslive.com. That's so critical. You're doing it. Keep it up and tell those you share it to share it. That creates the chain reaction, overrides all the censorship and manipulation and false reporting that's going on against us to try to crush what we're doing. And on all the stations out there, be sure to tell folks about that local AM and FM station, cable system, UHF, VHF, TV station. That's really our little secret. When they took me off everything on the internet 8 years ago, we had hundreds of radio stations. That's how we survive and thrive. Thanks to your word of mouth. We're all in this together. Now, that's all coming up when we go to break here in 2.5 minutes and come back with Victor Boot. Huge, important hour. Then Nick Fuentes joins us to cover the waterfront, the midterms, the collapse of MAGA, and more in hour 3 and 4. I intend to take some calls as well for Nick, so look for that. But something I didn't get to last segment, was only plugged for like a minute, was this announcement that's huge. Bigley runs this pharmacy, 1776 Rx.health, and they have the minbenzidol with the ivermectin, anti-parasitic, Nobel Prize for that with ivermectin. But it doesn't just do that. Look at what ivermectin and minbenzidol are also known to knock out. It's the ultimate detox. You can get it from a medical doctor through the portal. So easy, medical grade. Get a half off when you subscribe. And every order, for a limited time, not just at thealexjonesstore.com for all the supplements and T-shirts and knives and coins and all the cool stuff, but at 1776rx.health, every order gets a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss gummies, and every order above $100 gets a free tub of beef tallow as well at 1776rx.health. So be sure to take advantage of that. We are in a fundraising mode. Very soon you'll see, within a week and a half, you think we had a big victory in court a few weeks ago? Wait till you hear this, and even bigger announcements coming within a month about what we've been doing with your support, what's been happening behind the scenes, the studios, the network. You know, I asked Grok when I went around in the robo-taxi this weekend what happened to InfoWars. And said, well, they failed to take it. The auction was fake. They failed to kick you out, but a judge ordered you to shut down. Well, that judge is about to have some issues, and we'll just stop right there. She's already been overturned by the appeals court. More is imminent. On so many fronts, thanks to your support, we've persevered. I have a will to keep fighting, but I'm nothing without your word of mouth, your prayer, and your financial support. So when you call in thanking me, no, I want to win this fight. I love this. This is what I was born for. You were born for this too. Thank you for keeping us in the fight with your word of mouth, spreading the word, as a Paul Revere's, with your prayer for the transmission, and sharing the articles and videos and reports, and financially supporting what we're doing in our fight together at thealexjonesstore.com and 1776rx.health. But if you do one thing, it's my opinion, talk to your physician first, but you can do that when you go to the portal, nurse or doctor, I would detox with ivermectin and minbenzidol. Look into what else minbenzidol and ivermectin are known to do that the system doesn't want you to know. Just type in, ask ChatGPT or Grok, what else is minbenzidol and ivermectin associated with, not just antiparasitic. Do your own research, and then we've got the best right now at 1776rx.health. Take advantage of that right now, and that's what's helped keep us on the air, and it helps you a 360 win, a total symbiotic relationship, a non-zero-sum game. A lot of specials, a lot of deals right now at thealexjonesstore.com and 1776rx.health. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, when you go to FreedomRx, you have to understand that it's about preserving health and upholding values. Your health, your business, nobody else's. The folks that own this are patriots. They first came to me 4 years ago wanting to do this. I agreed three. They had it built about a year ago. They kept adding to it. But going through all the stuff we went through, I wanted to wait till we had a new operation to launch it with this incredible sponsor. But now it's ready. There's so many incredible things. The very best testosterone, energy, muscle, libido, mood, sexual health, PT-141. Woo, look out. Talk about the true aphrodisiac. Oxytocin protocols for men and women, longevity, recovery, all the good peptides, the NAD, all of them. HIPAA compliant, your health information is 100% protected. They got everything. Go there now, and it supports this broadcast with the best doctors and nurses, the best backbone, the best people. Your health, your business, nobody else's. Go now to freedomrxhealth.com.
Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
There he is, Victor Boot, joining us for much of the hour. Real Victor Boot, B-O-U-T, on X. Be sure and follow him there. He's exploded since he got on there about 4 or 5 months ago at Real Victor Boot. He joins us every few weeks on Tuesday to give us an update on what's happening. He's a famous businessman, soldier, former political prisoner here in the United States, and he's elected a high-level national position in Russia, and you really couldn't get a better expert on to break down what's happening. I want to look at the huge historic developments in the NATO-sponsored war against Russia, known as the Ukraine War, on the visit last week or week and a half ago by Witkoff and others, Putin's announcement that he's not planning to hit any NATO targets inside NATO, even though they're producing the weapons there. Why did he decide to say that? What deals were at least discussed that could be formalized at that meeting? And we see the continued more towns and cities being taken by the Russians as the Ukrainian defense collapses. We see the corruption now coming out, the U.S. spotlighting it, showing not just talk but real pressure on Zelensky and NATO. But will it be enough? And as Victor Boot predicted a year ago, as I've been predicting, when Russia has already been winning the war for a long time, becomes clear, it's getting stronger while NATO and the EU get weaker, the next thing will be false flags against civilian targets to blame Russia. And even mainline analysts have said that this drone on this tarmac in Germany and this supposed explosive found at a power plant, these other events look like attempts at false flags. We've already seen lots of other evidence of that done. Zelensky, 3 years ago, fired missiles into Poland and tried to blame Russia, but they blew them up in the air, so they got the tails that that show that they were Ukrainian missiles. And so we're in the false flag area here to ask, what will Zelensky do now that it's very clear that his time is extremely short and his own former and current ministers are turning against him, demanding an election? All this predicted by Victor Boot. So the fact that Russia, on the surface at least, Putin saying he's backing off hitting NATO targets shows that that may have pressed some clear minds that Russia's serious about this red line, and we could about to see a major breakthrough here, but I don't want to be delusional about that. Then we'll look at the unprecedented developments in the second front in this globalist war in the Middle East, with this closure of the strait continuing, the U.S. taking out ships, the Iranians taking out ships, and reportedly hitting an aircraft carrier, which did withdraw very quickly. As Iran said, we've got even more advanced missiles we haven't shown you yet. We know they got Chinese anti-ship missiles as well. And so we'll get into where that's going, how it ties into Netanyahu's election. Mainline Israeli news hammering him for standing down on October 7th, something we knew the day after, but now hitting mainstream news. What will Netanyahu do now that he appears to be more and more cornered? We'll discuss it all with Victor Boot at Real Victor Boot on X. Victor, so thank you so much for being here. It's good to see you and good to all still be alive.
Well, yes, Alex, hi, and greetings from Russia. Well, the most, I guess, important development, which just break out a hour and so ago, is a telephone conversation between the President Trump and President Putin, where eventually when the Trump received the report when the Kushner and the Witkoff returned about their trip to Moscow and then consequently to the Kiev, eventually they discussed the issue. Well, official Russian readout goes that they discuss the situation on the front lines. Putin to reiterate again that there is no plan to attack Europe, like they don't have this idea even. And second one, he also, you know, thanks Melania Trump for help on the exchange of the children and the prisoners between two sides. And eventually, interesting that this is a eighth telephone conversation this year, which is significant. Well, if you compare what's happened several, you know, years ago, this is a, at least we have a channels of communication which is going on. Well, and of course, in this situation, clearly enough that the Europeans feel themselves that they're out of the table. And I do believe that's attempt of the Germany to escalate, trying to shut down Russian cultural center in Berlin, you know, consulate in the bomb, claiming that the Russia organized the drone strike of Ukrainian cargo airplane Antonov 124, which was based in the Leipzig airport. And then the one day ago, they discovered apparently improvised explosive device next to the power station transmission lines. Looks like very cheap imitation. Let me tell you why I thinking this way. First of all, let's presume Russian deciding attack those airplanes in Leipzig airport. Question is, with all expertise and experience Russia have with the drone, or after the 4 years of the day and day in and day out use of the drone, how come they've been not able to damage those airplanes? Correct? And it's very, looks like unprofessional. And drone, you know, just drop near to the airplane without any damaging fuselage. So the Germany went to this hysterical anti-Russian mode with the tourism. First of all, they want to blame IDF, alternative for Germany, the opposition party who just happened to win election in the past Sunday for the one of the important provinces or lands in Germany, which is Saxonia-Anstalt. And then they earn unprecedented 44%, so they're able to form their own, you know, this region government. So the Germans, you know, Chancellor Merz decided, okay, how we can bring them down? No, let's claim because they've been rooting to have a certain and good relation with Russia, they're Russian agents. And let's blame them that they are involved somewhat in this supposedly, you know, Russian attacks on them. Of course, German public do not buy it. Eventually, there is a political crisis in the Germany, but they thought only one way out. Let's escalate relation with Russia, eventually going almost to the hot conflict. And like this, we can keep at least a position on control. And this is, of course, will not end well, because on this background, we know what's happening when the Americans, you know, trying to at least fix out the position. Because, look, nothing changed from Anchorage meeting in Alaska a year ago. Conditions of Russia became, if not the same, at least more stronger on the territorial situation on the map and the facts. But what is the difference? Well, if a year ago Ukraine would accept those encouraged position, they would still be able to run their export through the Black Sea. Right now, their export from the Black Sea completely blocked. They lost all their possibility to earn themselves the cash, which means it's not only grain export, vegetable oil export, and the iron ore exports. So this is also a main supply route how the Ukraine was resupplied. Moreover, the bombing of the Kiev and another industrial cities in Ukraine, a very well, really, you know, degraded capacity of Ukraine themselves to produce different kind of armament. What's happened? Because Kiev decided, since they've got a umbrella of the air defense, composed by the various system, but in the core was the Patriot system, and they covered the Kiev very well, so they concentrate all their assembly production line right in their capital. And guess what? For the past 40 days, Russia successfully, you know, day in and day out, destroying every storage, every factory, every commercial center which is used by the military, and also non-stop destroying their logistics, which means Russia hitting a lot of the trucks for railway, and they also destroying their fuel infrastructure inside. So right now, we're knowing that the winter season not far, Ukraine literally out of the heating thermal central, which usually would warm up Kiev and other cities. So there is basically a very, very difficult situation for the population. And this population start to move out because they understand it's impossible to live in the Kiev, in the capital, where it would be no heat, no water, no sewage. Even mayor of the Kiev telling, well, people, you better get out of the city, go to the village where you can still have stoves and use the wood, to warm yourself at the night. Also, because the Ukraine start this infrastructure war and start hitting our distribution center of the Russian companies like Wildberries and the Ozon, which is big, you know, marketplaces, the Russian side destroyed over 40% of their storage facilities when the Ukrainians only was able to damage like 3% of the storage facilities. So, and as we know perfectly, war is a math science. Every time, you know, you can put the figure, okay, how much you producing? If you can outproduce your enemy, what your reserves, how quickly you can bring your reserve, how you can make them last, how efficient your system, how quickly you adapt this all. And now Ukraine, basically, as we discussed with you many times, they lost war from military sense of view. Now what's going on? The Ukraine trying and thinking that they're going to negotiate better position to sign the deal. But, you know, every week they delaying, every week they delaying, they will get worse condition. Well, of course, there is a logic behind such behavior of the Zelensky. And this logic, well, Zelensky think he need to at least be patient enough and outlast the Trump. He willing to continue the same policy of stalling and delaying peace deal till the midterm election. He hoping that the Trump would be completely, you know, knocked out and become basically laying dark, because then he would be completely lost the majority of the Republicans in the Senate and in the House of Representatives. And then those people will somewhat miraculously try to scale up help to the Ukraine. Well, let's see what's going on. This is at least, you know, the very, very important, points I want to refer. And of course, it's everything else is happening, as you mentioned earlier, on the another crisis, hot crisis in the Middle East with Iran, and how this affect economy. So I guess Trump have not too much options how to end this up. The boss option is bad. The question is, either you want to have at least understandable damage done and accept it, or you are risking, you are betting that you can achieve some miraculous victory, whether in Iran or somewhat you can force the Europeans to tell to Zelensky to sign the deal so he can declare something at least before midterm election. This is my take on the situation.
Wow. Well, this is the best news yet. And folks know I'm not somebody that just pushes out good news for no reason. I try to be a realist here, but the reality is for several years, Russia strategically won. I'm not going to go over all the numbers. You know them better than I. But this is a big deal. Now we reach the point you mentioned earlier, but I'd like you to elaborate some on what you expect NATO and the Northern Group headed up by the UK that intends to keep the war going, how they're going to respond. I mean, obviously, false flags is their favorite thing. They're saying they think Russia is going to, you know, launch a gray war or launch terror attacks and not take credit for it. When Russia specifically has said if we hit anything, we'll hit weapons depots. And they pointed that out as a point of negotiation of a new threshold and threat escalation to match NATO if they continued. Now NATO is pretty much silent on the noises Trump's been making that seem like there's some type of detente finally happening, at least behind the scenes. But to see that implemented is a whole another thing. What are the different variant possibilities of the point we're at right now that we should expect to see? And what will the forces in NATO that want to keep the war going do?
Well, look, if we will see the NATO as a machine and understand what their part, you know, 90% of this is United States and the Turkey. Okay. The boss two is out of this equation. Who is left is Europeans. Okay. What is capacity and who is behind? Britain? Okay. What kind of the reserve or what kind, at least let's start with the air defense. What kind of the air defense Britain, Germany, and France has combined, or the rest other of the European war-mongering nations? Apparently, they give away almost all their reserves and major part of their upper to Ukraine, being destroyed. Okay, so should they want to provoke any attack, Russia will don't need really invasion. We don't need really. It will be very pinpoint, you know, just demonstration attack to force them to come to their reality. And I guess how we see in Germany, within these countries, opposition who's saying, hey, these crazy dudes on top gonna kill us. They want to say at least stop it and have
a meaningful
discussion.
That's a key point. Let me just add here. AFD, state by state, is winning by huge margins. So now the corrupt government is talking about trying to outlaw them. They're having communist protests against AFD, and you also see Le Pen in double-digit leads of the presidential race was held in France. Bottom line, the Europeans, 80 to 90% are against the war, so it's an even bigger paper tiger with them trying to bring back conscription, similar to Ukraine, when it is absolutely as popular as cancer to have this war with Russia. That's another huge sign. Please continue.
Yeah, correct. You're absolutely right. People in the Europe do not want this war. And who gonna fight? For what? What is motivation? And I guess, you know, we're seeing that the government in Germany would collapse within a month or so. Merz would be forced to resign or call for the new election of the party. And then IDF will win, you know, Germany-wide. And then they will change the policy. And if in this, you know, group, Germany stopped to be, you know, pushing for the war, trying to see what is a way at least to stabilize economic situation, then the France will go simultaneously from the same, you know, route. There is also a lot of happening in the Denmark, a lot of the protests going on in the Dutch you know, with the Netherlands, and also, well, forget about Britain, you know, just leave them alone. If they will push or not push, they have themselves quite a quagmire situation. But what is the real, you know, military capacity the Britain have now to attack Russia? There is not a single submarine on the duty. There is only aircraft carrier. How many? And they have their fighter jets or bomber, what's going on? And you still will threaten us? The same true for Norway. They arrested the Russian ship in the, you know, the Spitsbergen island in the Arctic seas, claiming that Ukraine sent us a request for the damages, so we will confiscate the ship. Seriously? And they, don't forget, the Norway is still sharing border with us. And if they want to go this way of escalation, Russia can make really life in Norway also very, very difficult. But Russia, again, as the President Putin today stated, that we have no plans to attack any European country, and this position never changed for the past 4 or 5 years. So look on this situation from other head. So Europeans trying to sabotage the Trump efforts to bring an arrangement, to bring a condition so the Ukraine can sign the peace deal with Russia before it's not too late.
And then have elections.
The Ukraine do not.
Sorry.
Correct.
And separately, I've seen a bunch of videos out of the UK where they have all these illegals being brought in from France, the boats landing, people uprising in all these sea towns saying no, the police attacking them. There's uprisings happening in Europe against the Islamic invasion, all the rest of it. So Europe is very, very weak trying to start this fight with Russia. It's totally insane, but they want an outside political diversion. But I see all these videos of people in the UK saying our government's the enemy, not Russia. None of us are going to war. If there's any war, it needs to be about against this government that needs to get out and be removed. And that's just the reality. And so if Zelensky has all this pressure and all this corruption coming out, I don't know how long he can hold on. I mean, I think we could wake up any day and he flees the country. I mean, I feel we're right on the tipping point. Doesn't mean we're about to have peace, but I think it's getting closer.
Okay, you're absolutely right, but I'm not sure that Zelensky will flee the country. Because he is now, you know, toxic for the, you know, Europeans. Well, he knows too much. And I guess the first one who want to kill him before he will bring out all the dirt on all this European elite who've been, you know, bribed by him, corrupted by him, you know. So for him, maybe the safest place to flee is go and surrender to the Russian side. You know, at least he definitely would be alive, you know. So, joke apart, you're absolutely right. We're coming to the, crescendo. We're coming to this final point where the Ukraine and their main sponsors of the war cannot sustain the financing of Ukraine. Think of this. Since Ukraine lost the capacity to earn any money, now Europe forced to pay not only for the armaments they used to supply, now they have to feed them. They need to provide them medicine. They need to arrange and send additional thousands and thousands generators, you know, fuel, just to keep Ukraine functioning. And, from promised $90 billion from, they're going to say, we're going to, organize this money for Ukraine can keep fighting till the end. Well, so far they've been literally able only to collect like about $2 billion. And you think it's enough? No. Ukraine already stopped paying to its soldiers. They already stopped paying salaries to their, the system which runs it. So think how long will take these people without being paid? Will either revolt, especially on the front lines, or, this would be end of the game, and it would be game on most unfavorable terms. And then, the people who've been saying, yes, we're fighting for the freedom, we're fighting for the freedom, the government of Ukraine destroyed everything for no reason. They could easily accept these terms on 23, 24, 25. And right now, this is last chance. If they don't miss this bus, okay, they're done. They have to be thrown under the bus.
And it's clear that NATO is not going to come to their aid with ground troops. They're not coming with the money. They're not coming with the weapons. Russia already won several years ago, I said clearly, militarily, strategically, not just on the ground, not just strategically at the military level, but internationally at every level. And the same thing has happened in the Iran war that Israel drug us into. Let's shift gears and look at the unbelievable escalations and developments there, contrary to even what Trump wants, which we warned Trump this would get out of control. It's now happened. Is there any off-ramp there? We'll talk about it with Victor Boot. When we come back, stay with us and share those feeds now. I want to make a massive announcement right now. And I'm so blown away by this. This is the most exciting thing, quote, supplement-wise, I've ever done in decades in my career, in my research. Okay? Now, decades ago, we looked at selling you methylene blue. The problem is you couldn't get pharmaceutical grade. It was something nobody knew about. Now, because the world's awakened to it, there's a bunch of pharmaceutical grade makers of it. My doctor's medical doctor at clinics all over the state said, you need to get on methylene blue. Told me how to buy it online. Said, be sure and get USP, which means pharmaceutical grade. I take it here and there. Feels like you're plugged into electricity. It gives you really clean energy. And I thought, yeah, this is great. You know, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is the HHS head. He talks about how great it is. He takes a whole bunch of it. So we've had the new methylene blue in, now available at thealexjonesstore.com, for about a week. And I already had mine. And I'm like, yeah, I'm sure it's all USP. I'm sure it's great. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll remember to take, you know, mine, which is another brand my doctor recommended. And then yesterday at about 3 o'clock, I'm watching him shoot B-roll for our new methylene blue that's from one of the top makers in the United States that supplies the big box stores that have it and sell it for $10 more than we do. It's a big bottle, too. Ultra Methylene Blue, the highest grade strength USP. I take a dropper and put it in my iced tea. I drink it. And I'm not a placebo guy. I'm like, okay, I'm taking methylene blue before. I figure, the one my doctor told me to get, I'm sure, we'll see if it's this good. 15 minutes later, I feel my hair on my body standing up, and I feel actually an electric current through my fingers, in my hands, and running up my back. And I'll be honest, start itching, and I go take my shirt off and look at the mirror because I'm itching, and my skin wasn't like hives. It wasn't a rash. My skin turned red. Not bright red, but red. I already got, I tan easily. It's a little bit of Native American in me, so I've always got a little bit of a tan anyways. Even if I'm not getting sun, I'm still a little bit of a tan. But it was like, I was like glowing. I was like, what the? And Chase guy was like, yeah. And he looks like a mad scientist. I'm like, I've been taking a lot of it. His hair's like, ah. And I'm like, okay. And then I just swear to God, I'm just saying, I swear on my children, okay? Do not take the full dose, because I drank half the glass, put it down, was busy, forgot to drink the rest, and didn't drink the other half. I was still sitting there this morning, because I was sitting around here doing work when I drank it. And it's insane. So it would take hours to go into why it's so amazing. And later in the broadcast, I'll cover the big news. I'm gonna go over it, but it is just beyond spectacular. And by the way, we're gonna have one that comes out that isn't flavored. The guys thought it was great. It's all natural, organic. It's just pure vanilla and mint from the mint plant oil, essential oil in it. So it doesn't taste bad. It actually tastes good. This is the purest, strongest, and the only one out there that has natural, delicious flavoring in it. We got the best methylene blue, hands down. I was already told it was the top firm that supplies the medical centers. Where it's not prescription, but doctors everywhere have been telling people to get on it for years. And there was so many attacks and systems on it. I just, we're a big target on it. But as soon as HHS came out, had endorsed it and all this stuff, and it's everywhere now, I'm like, okay, get us the best. And we got it. And boy, I tell you, if we can get enough of it, it's going to solve our issues. Funding, will it be able to expand? A third of what we got just sold out in the last hour. So I had a feeling about this because I told you what it did, and that's all true. So I've taken another methylene blue and it had a good effect. This other stuff that says it's USP, that means pharmaceutical grade, must not be. This is unbelievable. Get your ultra methylene blue now at thealexjonesstore.com while you can.
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen, right here on The Alex Jones Show.
If you're a TV viewer or watching online, we're showing you footage of Iranian drones hitting dozens of ships in the last week, including three large oil tankers. The United States badly damaged and sunk one oil tanker. And so basically, they've closed the strait. Trump closes the other side of it and says, no, I closed it as a face-saving measure. And all it does is hurt the Iranians and the rest of the world economy. And we see the inflation pouring in at record levels. And so we warned Trump. How many days ago did the war start? We'll put that on screen. 190-something. We said, this is what's going to happen. That was all the major assessments. He was told not to do it. He listened to Netanyahu. That's now all come out. We're only 8 days shy of 200 days of this, and look at what it's done. And then we have statements out of Trump, which, again, I want the president to succeed. I didn't want him to get set up in this. But you have to criticize him when he makes these major missteps. Look at these headlines. Oil surges towards 100 as Iran war threatens global supplies. Remember, they're manipulating the price of a barrel with AI. It's actually much higher. When you translate it to a gallon of gasoline, it's probably more like 110 right now are the estimates. So this is also a skewed number. Oil prices climb after reports of Saudi Aramco refinery being hit by the Houthis, who know what they're doing and are getting some help. The U.S. stock market, breezy summer's over. Investors beware. Oh, I'm saying big correction before the end of the year. And so gas prices hit record over the weekend. That's not what Trump ran on, and this was all easily avoidable. Meanwhile, Netanyahu ignored explicit warning. Hamas was planning terrifying operations Tuesday before October 7th. That's all over the Jerusalem Post, all over the Israeli news. Now, we knew this the first day it happened. We said Israel's one of the most defended places in the world, one of the most controlled borders. How did this happen? 7.5 hour stand down, bare minimum. The generals came out and said Netanyahu ordered it. He threatened them with national security arrest if they didn't shut up. He said, we'll investigate after the war. Well, here we are all these years later. And Netanyahu's running for re-election while he's indicted. But what does it mean that Haaretz and the Jerusalem Post and the Times of Israel are all reporting on something that I and others have talked about since day one? It means that people living in Israel are sick and tired of Netanyahu. So we have Zelensky and Netanyahu, who are stooges of larger groups that want this conflict, that want global conflict, that have said a new war during this fourth turning, during this economic collapse, will keep us on top. But as Elon Musk has warned them at the Davos Group twice in televised interviews, you go for war, it's going to backfire. We're not in the old paradigm with all these nuclear weapons and 10 billion people. Don't do it. We have to end this cycle. We have to stop going to war as what you do to maintain your control. The dog doesn't hunt, as they say. So I wanted to look at the different angles of this. You know, we got Trump rebranding now with brown hair. He's had the same hairstyle for decades. People say, who cares? Trump is obsessed with image. I know at the White House they're hitting the panic button on the midterm numbers. They're completely underwater. We'll lose the House and Senate, pretty much for sure, the House. So people say, who cares if he turned his hair brown? Well, that shows that Trump is desperately trying to rebrand. Well, all he's got to do is get back to being the old Trump and actually have some real indictments of the deep state. And even with 50-something days left of the midterms, you could still win, Trump. You were wildly popular until you went sideways a year and a half ago. So Victor Boot, a very well informed and well-traveled, as you can notice, spent a decade in prison for political thought crime as a political prisoner. And so he's very geopolitically aware. I study geopolitics and cultures myself constantly. He knows even more than I do. And that's the kind of guest we have on is people like Michael Yon and others that have incredibly accurate track records. And so I want to get his take on the Middle East, on where this is going. Iran believes they hold the cards. I don't think they should push too far, though, because that might make Trump use nukes or something. But he said last week he won't use nukes in a major de-escalation when he'd been hinting at those. But looking at the situation, it's dire. One clip before I go to you. These type of statements by Trump are terrible, though, not just for how bad they make the soldiers and their families feel with over 900 injured people and at least 18 dead and the trillions lost to the inflation and all the dead schoolgirls and all the rest of it from so-called, errant missiles. But a statement like, oh, this is small potatoes, talking about how many dead we have. You couldn't write a script for him. John Podesta, the Democrats, couldn't write a script better for him than to say these type of things. Like, he never used to do this stuff. Like when he said, sir, are you worried about the economic pain of the average American? I don't care about any average American's pain. I care about the war. Wow. So he goes in and out of gear here, but this is a shocking statement. Let's play this clip and get Victor Boot's take on it.
Mr. President, the vice president said yesterday that he would not describe the conflict with Iran as a war, but the U.S. resumed strikes for the first time in recent weeks. Can you explain to the American people, if this is not a war, what exactly is it?
Well, I'll tell you what, a lot of people don't call it a war. I call it a military conflict because it's It's small potatoes for us. It's not a big thing. We did Venezuela, and we did this. In Venezuela, we lost nobody, and this, we lost 18 people. In Vietnam, you lost 100,000 people, and in other conflicts, you lost tens of thousands of people. I would say that it's intermittent, you know.
Now, he's doing that, saying it's not a war, so Congress can't declare a War Powers Act on him. Under the law, they've got to, even if he declares a war, they go, no, we have to declare it under law. They came within 3 votes a few months ago of stopping the war, but didn't do it, and instead handed the buck to him. And if I really wanted to dunk on Trump, I could do this. Over the weekend, as you know, it broke that of the 18 dead, they're refusing to pay the family the death payments or death bonuses, because if they do that, they have to admit it's a war. Wow. Just, this is, you know, something that just is unbelievable that this is going on. Victor Boot, that's a lot I just laid out. Break it down for us.
Well, look, it's all started with the Venezuela. I think the Venezuela operation was set up as a lure where they can get Trump on hook. And then the Trump got, oh, we can pull the trick with Iran. And apparently everything goes not accordingly to plan. And now he's stuck. The problem is since he trusted, not the military branch who was, you know, strongly against these attacks on Iran. He didn't listen to the general, you know, economist who would say, hey, this will cause a huge spike on inflation inside the United States. And it's definitely a bad idea to do it before midterm election. Think of this. If Trump would be smart, why not to wait until the midterm is over? And then you would start the, if you even want to, you know, try to change regime in Iran after midterm, at least you will have the both chambers under your control. Well, Trump was so, you know, in a rush because he was excited. Wow, look, we succeeded in Venezuela. I think he was betting that the controlling the oil supplies, bringing the price up, will help him somewhat to cover the deficit and pump in certain, you know, amounts to revive American economy. Unfortunately, he didn't understand that the global economy is way more complicated, and chain of supply unexpectedly could hit you before you even realize it, like happened with a fertilizer, like happened with other disruption of the fuel supplies. And now this hawkish branch within the American administration, he was planning it as a main blow to China, because, look, they thought if we're going to cut oil supply to China, then we're going to force China to somewhat, you know, come to our terms and, you know, at least buy more American debts. But now situation is also like one step before the full financial collapse. Because look what's happening in Japan. Americans understood that situation in Japan, because so uncontrollable, because rate of the Japan currency, yen, start, you know, falling like a stone. And definitely American decided to intervene. And how they intervene? They didn't want to use the dollar. They used the euro without even telling to the Europeans that we're going to pump euro into Japan just to stabilize rate of exchange of yen, because if the Japanese market collapses, Japan is the biggest treasury holders in the world. If these Japanese start dumping those treasuries, think what will happen in American bond markets, and this will spill into the normal markets, and then with this kind of an economy and the energy prices, is basically perfect storm. And, you know, good luck to the Trump then to find somewhat a miracle solution, how you can even, you know, stabilize it, or at least predict how you can tackle this crisis. And I guess now he is really in the situation where, first of all, as you said, instead of focusing on America, focusing on resolving problem with illegal immigration, to bring back at least economy, at least bring that the American people will understand, hey, okay, inflation is low, we can go back, there is a job opportunity, was bring the prosperity to any country? Well, it's your own economy, your own production, and the international trade. If you're gonna limit your own production and own production inside America for past, what, 30 years, all production was moved to China, moved to India, moved to anywhere else because it was cheaper to make their money, you know, than to pay American decent wages. Okay. And second, how you can earn the prosperity is international trade. Who started the tariff wars? Who just recently with the Canada, you know, created the situation and imposed tariffs on the Canada products? So this definitely do not help, and it's definitely will not help him to bring, economy into certain shape when the, you know, voters will say, okay, look, yeah, he made a mistake, but, you know, sooner or later he realized he at least able to come and said, yes, this was wrong. We now changing it. Look how it works. And at least several months before the midterm election. And right now, I guess he has another week or so. If there is no changes, then he completely done. I don't believe how he can pull it through unless he betting that if he controls this system who is accounting the votes, somewhat he can manipulate and not let, the results would be that disastrous or at least he will have. Keep one, branch of the Capitol Hill at his control. But I'm not sure that would be possible with all scrutiny which will come from the Democrats and all the critics, and also that within the MAGA, we see not only dissent, but it's a basically deluge of the criticisms to the Trump. Well, this is a situation what nobody from us want to be in his position. And eventually, a sign that he tried to dye his hair, you know, rebrand himself and show he is still macho, he is still can pull up. I guess, look, will not work this time. He need to be honest. If he, you know, go to the public American people and said, hey, okay, this was wrong. Okay, admit what's happened with the, you know, that the Netanyahu, you know, literally, you know, framed him into this nightmare with Iran, accept this and go and offer some reasonable.
Absolutely. We're almost out of time. Victor Boot, you're dead on. I got a few quick questions for you. Putin has never lessened the Russian sacrifice. We don't obviously know the exact numbers, but it's been exaggerated by the Ukrainians. But we think it's like 5-1, but still massive. Imagine if Putin said, hey, we lost 26 million people or 27 million people fighting the Germans. And so suck it up. You know, we haven't even lost, you know, 1/26 of that. Just be tough. I would imagine if he made a statement like that, Putin would be removed very, very quickly. He obviously wouldn't. These are the dumbest statements you could possibly make. I don't care. It's potatoes. It's nothing to have 18 dead and 900 wounded. We know it's a lot higher than that. These type of statements make me believe he is having frontal lobe dementia because he would never make these statements. I don't care about Americans, average financial thing. Oh, I'm a wartime president. And then Pentagon refused payout for soldiers who died in Iran conflict because it isn't a war. What the hell is Hegseth doing? Even if they've got other ways to pay him, call him and give him more through some other fund. Why would you give the Democrats stuff? He does it every damn day. I mean, this is evil. Petty payments for their dead children? What? And their wives? I mean, this really makes me angry.
Well, I think somebody in the Pentagon trying to set up a trap for the huge failure. Look, this is definitely not his decision. Somebody smart enough to say, okay, let's create a scandal, but the family would not be paid at time. This will cause a huge wave. So I think, you know, if Pete Hadzett will come again to and make investigation and report honestly what's happened and quickly, you know, sort it out, this will maybe work. But right now, as you said, what is most dangerous, by doing this, he will lose the last trust the military branch has on the Trump, because majority of them being staunch supporters of the Trump. And right now, this is a time when they would be disillusioned with him. And then what? And as you said, with this, you know, kind of incredibility, how it's even possible that the Trump would be so cheap not to pay them this money. You're talking about building this new ballroom at the White House, and you will save the, comparing to what the Pentagon spends as the budget, the peanuts, to settle with the family of the deads is unheard of. By the way.
Yeah, dead troops is never, one dead troop is not small potatoes. Sorry, go ahead.
Correct. And now, you know, if you see the, you know, rhetorics, the President Putin all this time in all public speeches and answers for the journalists always would say, hey, I don't want to tell when we will take this area or another area. Why? Because we are worried. We want to save more our soldiers. Yes, they are dying, but I don't want to.
And that's why he's, that's why he's gone so slow.
Correct. And this is why, by one hand, there is desperation of Russian public. Hey, let's finish it quicker. But on the other hand, we know it also has a price on us. There is a lot of our, you know, citizens who fall in this war. And that's why we want, like nobody else, to finish this war. But we can't just freeze the conflict. Because if we accept, okay, let's do this, you know, to cease the fire. And then it will just give the time to Ukrainians to regroup, bring more mercenaries, you know, catch more own Ukrainians, whoever survived, you know, bring more armaments and continue this war. And now, finally, majority of Ukrainians realized why. Why yeah. on earth it's happening?
Yeah, I predict.
Country is completely destroyed. And, you know, I worried the same will happen on this realization level. Because when American public woke up to the reality to say, hey, why on earth this crisis made by the one or two wrong decision by Trump, who decided, despite the opposition from the, you know, generals, who said, no, 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 it's not good. Let's not start war with Iran. Because right now, America exhausted all the reserves of the strategic interceptors.
It's a total, total military disaster. We're almost out of time. I have one more question. You've talked about the EU demographically, economically being the worst shape of any major of the three major global power blocks. Now, Ursula von der Leyen, the dictator of the EU, came out last week and said, we're going to grab your bank accounts and all your other finances in a unified ledger. That's the WFUN Central Bank Digital Currency Plan. Everybody's going to run to the BRICS when they do that. It's now in the news. They're announcing it again. Talk about tyrannical. Imagine if the Russian government or ours or anybody else said, we're going to grab your house's value, put it in a unified ledger, all your stocks, all your bonds. And we're only going to let you invest in EU companies. You can't take your money out of the country. Currency controls. This is a major desperate act by them, in my view. What do you make of this Viktor Putin closing?
Well, I think the globalists thought they've got their chance to win. You know, they can outlast the Trump. They are winning with Ukraine. They're going to, you know, dominate. And they're going to bring their order all over. But now they realize, oh, they run out of money. There is no economy. So how are you going to do? Well, we're going to invent a war. We will try to go to the war. And guess what? The last attempt, yes, they definitely will bring complete police state in the Europe. They're going to do exactly what the Ukraine did. Look, as if we will look very careful, Europe now going through exactly same stages Ukraine did since 2014. It's basically, you know, in a high speed, slow motion repetition of this Ukrainization of the Europe, especially Germany, France, and Britain. Think of this. It's irrational economical decision. It's irrational, their decision to cut and, oh, we don't buy, we put sanctions on Russia. We can't buy any molecule of the Russian natural gas. We're going to buy a freedom gas from anywhere else. And guess what? How your economy going to run on your solar panels?
And they supported NATO and the U.S. blowing up the Nord Stream. It was like 40% of their gas. Total insanity. At Real Viktor Boot on X. I look forward to speaking to you very, very soon. Hopefully these trends continue in the right direction. God bless you and thank you.
Thank you.
Well, that was a powerful 50 minutes or so. We got Nick Fuentes coming up to cover the waterfront, dozens of issues, amazing videos, reports, the uprisings in Europe against replacement, migration, so much more. It's all coming up next hour. Remember to share the live feeds at Real Alex Jones
and rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live. And it's the easiest place to share it all from. AlexJonesLive.com, AlexJonesLive.com, and we're obviously cutting up the live show and sharing it. That's what goes mega viral, so great job to all of you sharing that. Now listen to me. I need your help. You saw the CIA, DOJ, try to shut down InfoWars. They still haven't won all that. You'll have big announcements soon. Wait till you hear this. But by within a week and a half, with huge announcements, probably sooner, even bigger within a month after that. Praise God for the blessings. Thank you for the prayers. And I want to encourage all of you that have been the biggest supporters over the years. I want to thank you for your support and just ask you to recommit to the AlexJonesStore.com. You know how great the methylene blue is, the bovine colostrum, the Irish sea moss, the Shilajit. These are all incredible systems. We have the very best, the widest selection of Patriot apparel. Thank you all. We need funds now to be able to fire up the studios, to bring in some extra talk show hosts, more crew reporters, and be bigger than InfoWars ever was. But we've been through a hell of a fight, and we can't do it without you. This is a team effort. So I'm respectfully asking all of you, what more do you need? The widest selection of every type of Patriot apparel there is, some of the very best designs. It's amazing. Fun to wear these shirts out in public. The very best supplements. Go there. For those of you on the fence that never got methylene blue, you hear all the medical reviews, Kennedy promoting it, all the stuff it does, we have the best. Get it now. Every order at thealexjonesstore.com is going to end very soon. It's a free bottle of Irish sea moss gummies. Every gummy is equivalent to like a whole bowl of high-quality Irish sea moss concentrated with 93 vitamins, minerals, trace elements, the best organically delivered iodine. So good for your skin, your clarity, your brain, your heart, your libido, everything. A free bottle with any order, whether it's a ball cap, a T-shirt, or methylene blue. That is an insane deal, but it's already a bestseller. We want those of you that never had it or already like it to have a chance to use it and get it. Get your free bottle of Irish sea moss with every order. And there's a bunch of other specials running right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Any order above $99, it's a free tub of beef tallow, grass-fed, certified, the very best, healthiest cooking oil. So delicious on French fries, eggs, everything else. It was listeners that asked for this. We sent out a survey a couple years ago. What do you want? They said, we want high-quality beef tallow. You got it. Free tub with every order, $99 or more, thealexjonesstore.com. And then separately, ladies and gentlemen, you need to get Minbenzidol with ivermectin together. They're not just incredible antiparasitics. They knock out so much other stuff. It's so good for you. The bad guys don't want you to know, but so much of it sold online is adulterated or fake. You got to get it from a doctor. That's what you do at 1776rx.health, 1776rx.health. And it's such a detoxifier. Talk to the physician in the portal there. Do your own research into Minbenzidol and ivermectin, what else it's known to knock out, how it's known to detox, why it's so important with what goes on in our environment. Right now at 1776rx.health, you can get it massively discounted when you sign up and subscribe. Cancel any time, and every order for a limited time there now as well, because Bigley runs that pharmacy. It's a free bottle of Irish sea moss gummies as well. 1776rx.health. But we need funds. This is a fundraiser. Victory, it's a time of action. We're the modern Paul Revere's. Myself, all of us together, it's a collective action. I need your support. The products are incredible. Those of you on the fence, why have you never gone to the store? Go there now, theauctionstore.com or 1776rx.health. Nick Fuentes, straight ahead. Stay with us.
Alex Jones is off the air.
There's a lot of noise right now.
Taking me off the air. It is beyond essential that you continue to spread the word about the broadcast.
That's usually when it matters most to have people in your corner who don't flinch. We've been a partner of this program for a long time.
I'm handing out ice water in the Sahara. The top rated, the biggest company, because they're the best, and he's a patriot.
We're not going anywhere, and that commitment runs to you. With us, it's 8% when you buy and 0% when you sell. And here's something else. After you make your first purchase and become a client, if you're holding metals you bought somewhere else, bring them to us. We'll help you liquidate them. No commission. That's not a promotion. That's just the way we do business. Give us a call and we'll bend over backwards to help you.
Visit kepm.com/gold to get started, or give us a call at 720-605-3900. And let us help you make room for what matters most.
The atrazine generators have been destroyed. Bring in the water filters.
Releasing the water filters.
This is a good start. But we're going to need 1,000 more of these bad boys.
Thank you, Alex. Let the oceans be cleansed of this monstrous chemical.
They wanted to download my brain, but I downloaded theirs. It reversed all their demonic globalist plan. Team Humanity!
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
The dollar is in free fall. It's been engineered that way. We'll talk about it with Nick Fuentes coming up. This is so incredibly important. Nick joins us at the start of the next segment. We're going to cover every major angle taking place geopolitically, domestically, the midterms, the Civil War and MAGA, and more that he foresaw 4 years ago. It's all coming up with Nick J. Fuentes. Straight ahead, be sure and share the live feeds at Real Alex Jones on X. Here's a report on the dollar right now.
Nations aren't just shuffling Monopoly money around anymore. They're yanking physical gold out of American vaults by the hundreds of tons because they no longer trust the system that printed the world's reserve currency into oblivion. The Netherlands just relocated 86 tons, citing geopolitical unrest. France sold off its remaining 129 tons stored at the New York Fed and bought equivalent bars closer to home. And Germany completed its own 300-ton repatriation years earlier. These are sovereign states, not Reddit panhandlers, deciding they want to know exactly where their gold sits and who can seize it. At the same time, central banks, more importantly China, keep stacking bullion month after month while quietly trimming treasury holdings and building parallel payment rails off the quantitative easing road to Hades. A coordinated retreat from the old order that has underwritten American power since Bretton Woods. The mainstream won't connect these dots because they are the smokescreen for the introduction of a new system of digital global currency.
1 year ago this summer, I signed landmark legislation known as the Genius Act. I named it after myself. I didn't want to use my name, so I just called it the Genius Act.
Meanwhile, Washington is betting the farm on dollar-backed stablecoins. Trump's January 2025 order and the Genius Act turned private coins into official policy. They're not actually losing the dollar. They're swapping it. Tariffs and trade war friction push countries off the greenback into gold, local currencies, and BRICS, dropping the dollar 12.6% in a year, so foreigners stop buying treasuries. The January 2025 order then kills any public digital dollar, leaving Tether, which was never fully audited, with reserves at Lutnick's, Cantor, Fitzgerald, and Epstein-adjacent origins, as the private replacement legally required to soak up government debt. The old dollar weakens, groceries and 401ks eat it, Tether takes their cut, and the same operators collect on both sides. Meanwhile, the London Metal Exchange Treasury chief just jumped ship to Ripple to tokenize commodities on the XRP ledger, where products like gold and silver are already live. One side is digitizing the debt to keep the dollar's privilege. The other is stacking physical collateral and building a vault and settlement network that doesn't need Washington's permission.
Okay, today is going to be the day that Alex Jones is going to announce XRP, Global Reserve Currency. It's the fourth one down the line. It's not so shiny. I think it's being manipulated by force, to be quite honest with you. But XRP, make no mistake about it, will be the global reserve currency.
Crypto has had its massive victory. The establishment is now accepting it everywhere. The oldest bank in the U.S., the oldest bank in Europe, MasterCard, Visa, they're all saying they're going to be accepting it. And so my feeling is it was hatched by the globalist the entire time and that they would end up bringing it forward because it has blockchain in it to track the history of money.
But certainly a lot of people are going to make money as it becomes probably the new global dominant currency. Looking at this, we said XRP looks like it's been chosen as the new global currency that all the different cryptos and things can go through, but also the new central bank digital currencies. As I saw the big banks, JP Morgan, you know, all of them adopting it, the central banks in Europe adopting it.
When the biggest holders start treating physical metal as the only asset they can truly control, the extraordinary privilege America has enjoyed for decades starts looking a lot less permanent. Focus. History shows the public only notices these tectonic shifts after the ground has already moved. John Bowne reporting for the Alex Jones Network at alexjoneslive.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, when you go to FreedomRx, you have to understand that it's about preserving health and upholding values. Your health, your business, nobody else's. The folks that own this are patriots. They first came to me 4 years ago wanting to do this. I agreed three. They had it built about a year ago. They kept adding to it, but going through all the stuff we went through, I wanted to wait till we had a new operation to launch it with this incredible sponsor. But now it's ready. There are so many incredible things. The very best testosterone, energy, muscle, libido, mood, sexual health, PT-141. Woo, look out. Talk about the true aphrodisiac. Oxytocin protocols for men and women, longevity, recovery, all the good peptides, the NAD, all of them. HIPAA compliant, your health information is 100% protected. They got everything. Go there now, and it supports this broadcast with the best doctors and nurses, the best backbone, the best people. Your health, your business, nobody else's. Go now to freedomrxhealth.com.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones, coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
There he is, Nick J. Fuentes. Certainly vindicated on his Iran war predictions, the collapse of MAGA, the midterms accelerating up on us, all the political suicide moves that Trump's making. I don't care about the average American's financial crisis. I only care about war. Now saying, oh, it's small potatoes, 18 dead troops, 900 wounded. Pentagon refuses payout for soldiers who died in Iran conflict because it's not a war. And I'm telling you, that probably came right from Trump. Victor Boot thinks it's probably sabotage. No, Trump keeps saying it's not a war. So unbelievable. And I'm not just here on some Trump bashing event. I'm not getting paid by the Democrats. They want to put me in prison. I am horrified by the trajectory of this country and what we see in 2028 coming up. Is Nick Fuentes right to punish Republicans and not vote for them? All I know is the Democrat Socialists of America and all the things they're doing is beyond disgusting as well. And their candidates saying things like, I hate the cult of hard work and be fat and ugly. That's how we hurt the man. I actually played that clip first hour. We'll talk about it all, but I normally get Nick on and do some 10-minute diatribe laying out the field of potential stuff and then say, Nick, what do you want to hit first? But I've been following so much of the obvious work he does, and you think he has some of the most thought-provoking statements out there. Also, knowing he's being tongue-in-cheek and making a joke, he'll usually say that's a joke, then they'll twist it. But I do know that I like to have guests on that have predicted things over and over again accurately. So with all the things in our world today, the Iran war spiraling out of control, all of the things that are unfolding and happening, the vice president saying he doesn't really even care if he hastens Armageddon, if that's God's will. So now we have the Christian Zionists, the Zionists, the Iranian mullahs saying they all think they're going to hasten God's return when the whole Bible's about you don't control God. The New Testament and Revelation is anybody tells you they're going to make God come back or control God is of the devil. Just a wild time. You've got all these copycat women killing their kids, women praising it and promoting it. I mean, it's clear the West has lost its soul, and it looks like the rest of the world in many cases already did. So Nick Fuentes, follow him at Nick J. Fuentes on Rumble, and obviously impossible not to find him there on X at Nick J. Fuentes. Great to have you with us. I can throw out the first topic, but let's do something different this time. What is front and center in your mind? How would you describe the time in we're right now? And then I hope you'll give us some more of your prescient predictions on the midterms and so much more. Nick, thanks for spending time with us.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me. I mean, I would say that probably the most salient thing that's happening right now is that we are in the end of the Trump movement. I think that if you zoom out and look at the bigger picture. How do you orient where we are right now in the larger story? It's that Trump is a lame duck president. And normally you would say he's a lame duck president after he loses the last election, or after the last election happens. You got that period from the election to the seating of the new government. You might say it after they lose the midterms in the situation he's in. I would say he's already a lame duck even before they lose the House and potentially even the Senate in the midterms. And that's because he's utterly destroyed his base of support. Favorability's in the toilet. Job approval's in the toilet. The session for this Congress is almost run out. There's hardly any days left. And I think that everybody understands that there's basically nothing.
Sorry, go ahead.
There's nothing left that this administration can do. No major legislation. His political capital is tapped because of the wars. Democrats are gearing up not just to shut down the government because of the gridlock that is going to follow with a divided government, but also because they're preparing subpoenas and investigations and articles of impeachment. And again, not even just for Trump, but against members of his government. There's big stories coming out now about Corey Lewandowski and what they're doing in DHS. And they're talking about the crypto stuff with Howard Lutnick and the others. So I think, properly understood, I mean, you and I, we've been on this kind of super cycle for the past 10 years. I got into politics and started my show in the first Trump election and shortly afterward. You had him on your show 11 years ago. And I think that now we're transitioning. Now the big inflection point is what's over the hump after Trump is term limited out of office. And then we get something else. I think then a new cycle begins. Certainly it's going to be a new period, and it'll be dominated by now these other forces, people like J.D. Vance and Tucker Carlson and this emergent conspiracy theory minded crowd on the right wing. And I think you'd frame it on the other side with the ascendance of the DSA. And it's unignorable that the midterms this year and this year 2026 has been the story of the rise of Zohran Mamdani and his influence, the influence of Hassan Piker over the party, this Al-Sayed in Michigan. And the question is, where does that point in 2028? Are the Democrats going to have a revolution of their own in the way that we did in 2016 with Trump, where you're going to have the Bernie Sanders long march through electoral politics over 10 years with him and the squad? And now these new faces, are they going to take over the Democrat Party? Will there be a civil war? How open and overt will the fighting be? And then what the result? I mean, how is it going to end up in the end of it? So I think that's kind of where we are. We're in a very weird time. It's clearly a time of transition. It's a time when Trump is collapsing and you see the radical left is rising up. So I'm going to be honest with you. It doesn't feel very good. I think that 2 years ago, well, let's just say what we know for a fact. 2 years ago, we were obviously winning. We, meaning like the broad right wing, woke was dying. Biden was also literally dying, demented. Trump was on the up and up. Republicans captured every chamber of government, won the popular vote, electoral college, the rest of it. Now we're clearly not, you know, now something has gone very terribly wrong. And I think there's this profound sense on the right wing that things have gotten away from us. We've maybe snatched defeat from the jaws of victory. And I think hopefully what might be a unifying factor is that in 2 years, we're going to be staring down the barrel of a much more radical left that is going to destroy all of us. Only issue is, seems that the Trump administration is doing everything in their power to break that. Everybody that supported Trump in 24 seems to be like singled out to be attacked and destroyed by this very administration. I was thinking about it. It's you and I that are being targeted by the DOJ, where they're making this dossier on us. It's Andrew Tate, who's going to be extradited to Europe, and the State Department apparently is going to allow it. It's Milo, who I don't even like, but he supported Trump in 24. He said I was an idiot for not voting for Trump. Then he gets deported. So it's like the administration is, it's in particular going after its biggest supporters. Not me, but maybe you, Milo, Tate, some of the other people. And so if there was going to be any kind of rally around the flag or wave the bloody shirt kind of effect, where the rise of the radical left is going to force us to coalesce in this dialectical way, seems like Trump and the Mark Levins and Laura Loomers of the world, they're doing everything in their power to prevent that from happening. So
I totally agree. So table that. You said a lot, and I want you to continue. But that's exactly last night when I was thinking you were coming on the show, was the first thing I was going to ask, but to do it different, I said, let's just have Nick say what he thinks is important. We didn't talk before other than just saying, yeah, you know, tomorrow's good. You said probably last week, but you were finally good yesterday with your busy schedule, and I appreciate that, that I was going to come in here and say this, and it's been said, but it needs to be clarified and expanded on by you and I. People look at this. It was the neocons starting about a little more than a year and a half ago, right before Midnight Hammer, that were coming to the administration. They were always there, but really flexing their muscle. They picked the fights with a bunch of people, and then people responded. They were clearly trying to drive a wedge and then have Trump come out and recognize them, which he did on Truth Social and public statements as, yeah, they're not MAGA. The new MAGA is Mark Levin. He represents what I stand for. Ben Shapiro, knowing the Israelis knew that, and the AIPAC crew knew, that would enrage his original base being hurt by it, further drive us out, so he would then be isolated and only have the neocons and their power and the media that's pulled off him a lot, so that he could go forward into a rear guard action for them to protect him and leave him alone once he left office. Clearly, 4 or 5 months in administration, he made a deal. I think he brought in Elon and others, probably unknowingly, just to find all the dirt, to have a dossier, to be able to then sue for peace with them, that he could loot, insider trade, make insider deals, do whatever he wanted, and then make statements and do things that would purposely lose the midterms. He'll then be a lame duck, loot everything, and waddle off into the sunset, and then going into that, you have the neocons and the Bushite-style spirit in charge, back to the Uniparty, sharing power with the Democrats going into 2028. The problem is the Democrat Party is even more unpopular than Trump with the general public, and so the communists and the socialists and their globalist funders realize that. They want totalitarianism. They want to end any chance for a populist right to ever come back. So they know their time is short, so they're going to sew things up. So do the Israeli AIPAC Jewish lobby. So it's really a fight between that communist globalist arm, which the Rothschilds also fund, and the Israel arm that they also fund. So either way they win, about what type of totalitarian future we have. And so we're going to be hit by crossfire by the left, by the communists, by the Democratic Socialist America, the power structure, the media, and then whoever is left over in the Republican establishment. And so you have Trump joining with the globalists, joining with AIPAC. And now you see the original America First patriots that took over the Tea Party and everything we did being targeted because, again, we are the real American opposition. We are the real 1776. And now we should expect something really, really hardcore. But it's okay because what we're doing is popular, constitutional. There's a mass awakening, not just on the right, but also the left. And if we can illustrate that the Democrat Socialists of America and their message and their funding is actually one arm of the establishment and expose the Republican rhino neocons, they're not coming back from the dead. They're incredibly unpopular. We have a very good chance of actually having it all boomerang back in their face if the public's informed, if they take action, and if we have the right leaders from the grassroots right at the top. Nick Fuentes, please expand on what I just said.
Yeah, I agree with you. I guess I'm just a little bit more pessimistic about the whole situation. I think that the way things are shaking out, we're going to lose no matter what in 2028. That's what it seems to be to me, especially when you consider that realistically, I think if we actually in a way kind of revisit history a little bit and reinterpret it properly understood, it almost seems like Trumpism was a bit of a fluke, only in the sense that in 2016, he only won by, what was it, 70,000 votes across a handful of counties in a few states in Michigan and Pennsylvania. And I forget what the third closest state was, but it was a very small number of votes. In 2024, I think the fluke was that you had Biden, who had that horrible gaffe on stage in the debate. They brought Kamala in. She's the most unpopular VP in history. She didn't even make it to the Iowa caucus in 2020 when she ran for president. You had Trump getting shot in the ear, the unprecedented effect of October 7th pushing American Jewry to the right. All that together, I think, put Trump over the top. In 24, it was like this once-in-a-lifetime second chance. Because you got to consider, while all this has been going on, the demographic clock has been ticking, which is to say that every single state is becoming less white, more diverse, more immigrant, which translates to more Democrat. So the demographic conditions are far worse in 24 than they were in 20 and worse in 20 than in 16. They'll be worse in 28. And so I think that between that, recognizing maybe some of the limitations of Trumpism, you know, I know we like to say like, oh, Trumpism was the greatest political movement ever. I think we kind of caught a break a couple of times. A couple of times the left just didn't show up when they had Hillary Clinton, who was extremely unpopular, the Comey letter. And then again in 24, for all the aforementioned reasons, there's limitations to Trump. 28 is going to be demographically worse. You add to that that Trump is extremely unpopular, politically toxic. You can only imagine what the Democrats are going to dig up in the next 2 years. They're going to get started right away. It's going to be Corey Lewandowski and Kristi Noem, DHS. It's going to be Howard Lutnick. It's going to be the crypto stuff, the contracts, all the stuff that you know about. And what's more, as you said, and you're totally right about this, it is the neocon Bush alum type people that are actually now ascendant in the admin. A lot of people don't know this, but in the second term, the personnel has actually been good. The personnel in DHS was good. The personnel in NSC and DOW has been really good, way better than the first term. But these people are all blackpilled now. The irony is we used to say about the first administration that if only Trump could get out of the way, or rather reverse it, if only the bad personnel could get out of the way in the first term, then Trump would lead us to the victory. It's the personnel that are sabotaging. They're not aligned. They're the problem. In the second term, it's the opposite. The personnel are really, really good. In DHS, they want the deportations. In DOW, they're America first. They're, you got Elbridge Colby. They're restrainers. They're prioritizers. They don't want to fight the war in Iran. It is Trump that doesn't want to build a border wall. It's Trump that doesn't have the appetite for the mass deportations. It's Trump that listened to Netanyahu and brought us to war in Iran. He made the call. And so now all the good people are becoming blackpilled and they're exhausted and they don't want to fight this fight anymore. So as a consequence, now it's all the worst people that are leveling up and getting promoted. They're going to be the ones that I think are the successors in all these different departments and agencies. So I think that in 28, we're in for basically an unwinnable situation. The Republicans are going to be very weak, no enthusiasm, not aligned. And on the Democrat side, I think they're going to take advantage of all these structural built-in advantages that have been cresting and building for the past 10 or 15 years. And so, I mean, you know, I know that we always have this back and forth about, so what do we do? How do we pressure Trump? How do we get him to reverse course or change direction?
Too late.
And, you know, yeah, I think it's too late. And maybe you're going to need years of pain. Maybe you're going to need to take the L in 28. I don't want to, because you and I both know what that entails. We're going to get screwed even harder. I don't want that. We might need to take the L and have 4 or 8 years of excruciating pain to maybe create the conditions for another right-wing movement. And I kind of said this back in 24. That's why I wanted Kamala to win. I thought Kamala would have been far weaker than the Democrats will be in 28. And so, relatively speaking, you know, we could have endured with some degree of painlessness 4 years of Kamala. She might not have even been the nominee in 28. And then a new thing could have gotten started. But now we're 4 years behind the eight ball. Dems are coming back with a vengeance. Trump is causing this whole thing to blow up and dragging us all to hell with them. It's not a lot of good options. We're truly in the end game here. So I'm quite pessimistic.
Let's go back 2.5 years ago when we were riding high. And then when he won 2 years ago, I was so happy the first 6 months because he was actually a lot of good was happening. Then it all changed when the Epstein thing came up. Clearly people around him were compromised bare minimum. And then he just started doing everything he could, statements and things like the new one, blocking money for the dead troops' families. It's law, saying it's, you know, small potatoes, the dead. I don't care about any of your economic peril. Clearly, he's not that dumb. He's doing that on purpose. And you've got the Israel lobby creating the civil war on purpose, pushing out people that were still supporting, but that were very concerned. How did you see it? Gosh, 3 years ago or longer, you predicted the win. You predicted they go right to Iran. You predicted he would become pure AIPAC. Was he always AIPAC? Because now he has Mark Levin saying, you know, Trump's the rebel and the rebels are Israel and Trump against all the evil, racist, woke right or woke Reich and against the Democrats trying to act like we're with them when in truth we see at the highest levels Trump joining the establishment. So we're mad. They turn around and call us the establishment. I mean, clearly this has been set up by people above even the two parties to try to create a uniparty again. And I agree with you. It's a nightmare scenario. But the Democrats are so communist, are so out of control that it may be the fact that they're so bad. That's the only reason we might get somebody decent in 2028. But as you said, the field's not good. And I think the Democrats get back in. They're going to pack the court. They know people have turned against them. They're going to go for broke for a totalitarian model. So is there some way out of this in your view? And first off, how did you predict that it would become the AIPAC presidency starting with the Iran war? I mean, it had to be like a year and a half before the even when it looked like he wasn't going to win again. That's a stunningly accurate prediction. So take us back to Nick Fuentes' brain 3.5 years ago.
Sure. Well, you know, in 2024, it was very clear to me that the Israelis were on this march to decisively confront Iran. That basically started after October 7th, that their plan was to go after Hamas, then Hezbollah, then Assad, and then ultimately confront Iran. And in order to do that, they needed Trump in office. They needed a compliant Republican government in the House, Senate, White House. So I figured that was really just their master plan. And what's more, they had been trying to provoke Iran into that confrontation throughout 2024. They did it in April. They did it in July when they bombed an Iranian consulate in Damascus. And then they assassinated the leader of Hamas in Tehran. It was very clear that that's where the Israelis were taking it. They were provoking it, and that Trump was this necessary part of the puzzle to make this happen. And I also knew that they were going to use those arguments about nuclear program, about the missile development and the rate of missile production. I knew they were going to take it for those reasons. But the one sign to me that was unignorable, because back then people say now, hey, that was obvious. You know, anyone could have predicted that. It's like, no, nobody was saying this. Back in 24, everybody was all on board. No new wars, mass deportation, placards at the convention, whatever. And I remember back in 24, there was one distinct moment when Trump was accompanied by Jared Kushner and Ben Shapiro holding hands at the grave of the Lubavitcher Rebbe in Brooklyn, New York. So the biggest Hasidic dynasty is the Chabad Lubavitch dynasty. The leader of it is called the Rebbe. The seventh Rebbe, many Jews believe, is the Jewish Messiah, because he's the seventh generation of the Lubavitchers. His name was Schneerson, Menachem Schneerson. He's dead and buried in the headquarters of Chabad Lubavitch in Brooklyn. They call it 770. His grave is called the Ohel. And they'll write a little note on a piece of paper and throw it on the grave. And that's supposed to be like a wish to the Messiah of the Jews. And I'll never forget that Trump was literally walking down the hall, holding hands with Jared Kushner and Shapiro to pray at the Ohel, the grave of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, for victory. And I'm thinking like, okay, so am I going crazy? Like, does everybody else see this? Clearly, this is not going to be Mr. No New Wars, Mr. America First. It was stuff like that. It was that he disavowed Project 2025 in June of 2024. Project 2025 was put together by the very same people that in 2020 came into PPO, the personnel office, and cleared house in the final year of the first term. And they started to put together at Heritage the personnel database, the 93-page policy white paper that was going to be the blueprint for a successful second term. And when Trump cast them out and disavowed them at the behest of the media in favor of AFPI, which was the official MAGA think tank run by Brooke Rollins and some other terrible people, it was like, that's when I knew they were going to do the same kind of stuff in the second term that they did in the first, which is that they're listening to outside pressure. They're not going to let the so-called loyalists or good people run the show. So those were some of the things that gave me the idea, the inkling. Another one really quickly is when the primary ended in 2024, the Republican primary, Nikki Haley traveled to Israel on behalf of Trump and endorsed him in Israel. And that was like the bridge between Miriam Adelson and Trump, because the Adelsons and AIPAC, they didn't want Trump. Initially, they went behind DeSantis. In May of 23, DeSantis went to Israel and South Korea and England to like rally support for his presidential campaign. He met with all the big Jewish donors that went behind Trump in 20, and the Adelsons favored DeSantis. Then they favored Haley. And then it was as the primary ended in 24, Haley went to Israel and said like, oh, I'm behind Trump now. I'm here on his behalf. And that's when Miriam Adelson committed to spend $100 million in 2024 for Trump. And the deal was that Trump was going to facilitate the annexation of the West Bank, and that Trump was going to take his tour in Iran and basically facilitate the master plan. So that's when I knew that that things were going to go in that direction.
Gosh, I wish the American people would have got a couple $100 million together. We could have bought our country back from Trump. But that didn't happen. Let's look forward to the future then with the midterms. What the Israel lobby does, the lowest polls number, and just a way through all of this, and Netanyahu and his reelection, how all this ties together, and what comes next with Nick J. Fuentes. I'm Alex Jones.
green gummies at thealexjonesstore.com.
We have to fight for our sovereignty. We have to fight to protect, again, what God gave us, which, I mean, our health is one of the biggest things. We're all, at this point, middle-aged. We're trying to have families. And I think with the transhumanist agenda, there is a little bit of a psyop afoot.
Well, I've said that but the other day when you guys coming on. I said, we're doing something about what we can take control of. Mm. And then the last few years, Joe Rogan, one time at dinner, goes, about 3 years ago, you're fat, you're your own enemy. He does that to guests. It was like Theo Von, too. Get off that Prozac, you idiot. And people were mad at him. That's tough love Joe does. And he's there with Sean Johnson, the Navy SEAL guy that I'd known for years, but you know, didn't really really friends. Sean goes, fine, I'll train you. I'll meet you every morning. And I said, all right, let's do it. And then I lost like 70 pounds, and I kind of halfway cut back and gained back 10. But now I'm back to where I was. I'm going to go even lower. But the whole point is that Joe goes, you know, you're your own worst enemy. You think the global's going to kill you. You're killing yourself. And so that's where Masterpiece comes in. That's where doing all this comes in. I mean, this is real, folks. Methylene blue works. Bovine colostrum works. You'll get Masterpiece.com. The Masterpiece is unbelievable.
We are at a crossroads with the survival of the human species. And the people that have all the resources and all have spelled that out very clearly to us. And the things that they are putting inside of our body to complete that mission. You got to get out. The fact of the matter is, zeolite, which is one of the main ingredients of Masterpiece, has been proven in all ways to remove every toxin that it's looked at grabbing. It performs. That's why it's called the Master Binder.
But yours is different.
It's completely different.
Because it doesn't just pull stuff. It brings in the key sea minerals.
Yes, absolutely. So any way that you would actually test Masterpiece out, which would be like its pH, its molecular composition, its molecular ratio, if it's isotonic and whatnot, it is identical to blood plasma. You're talking about marine plasma, sea plasma, minerals. It is the same molecular composition as your blood profile. And so why does that matter? Blood is life. When you are grabbing the problem with our bodies, with the toxins in there, which is disrupting how our bodies perform on every level, it's literally made our bodies mineral deficient. Toxins take the place of minerals. So when the Masterpiece is carrying in minerals, when it takes a toxin, it's giving the perfect minerals right there at that time. That's why everyone that looks at the testing, whether it's our hair tissue mineral analysis practitioners, our blood testers, which we've done three different independent third-party labs doing different blood testing, they've never seen results like
this. Yeah, so regular zeolite just pulls out bad stuff but doesn't replace it. This is zeolite with a good thing, pulls out bad, it goes bloop, good.
Yeah. Our bodies are magical if you get the poisons out.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones.
Nick addressed this a little bit while we were talking the last 30 minutes, but I want to go back to it. And as Nick pointed out, it seems like Trump is doing things deliberately to make the Democrats win. So many bizarre statements. But just in the last few days, Trump says 18 Americans dying fighting in Iran is small potatoes. Then Pentagon refuses to pay out for soldiers who died in Iran conflict their death bonus to their families, saying, because this isn't a war. And then behavior like this just continues on. And on. I don't care about Medicare, Medicaid. I don't care about Americans, economic peril. All I care about is war. When he does these type of things, he also said, oh, the economy's great. I've made hundreds of billions of dollars on stocks and many other type of holdings for the USA, not myself. Look at the stock market. He said over and over again, there is no affordability crisis. Bull crap. The inflation is off the chart, and the dollar is being devalued, is in danger of failing. So we're stuck with Trump
another 2 years, and I wish there was some magic button to hit where he'd rebrand back to being better, but obviously not. People say, who cares if he dyed his hair brown? This is a guy who's looked the same for decades. It's a big deal for him. I see it almost as a cry for help, him wanting to rebrand cosmetically. I know he doesn't like being unpopular, having a horrible legacy, but he made that choice. And if he thinks the system isn't going to try to burn him once the Democrats get back in, it's a very foolish decision. The open, wild-eyed insider trading, having Truth Social, say $100,000 a month, you'll get insider info on stock trades from the president before anybody else. It's like a cartoon level, satirical level of hyper corruption. And he goes, well, I'll just give pardons to my entire administration, from the greenskeeper to the chef to myself. And I guess Biden did it, so it sets the precedent. So just in general, I guess post-Trump just means effectively we've reached hyper corruption where it's out in the open. They don't care. Gavin Newsom gave himself the only insurance money of all the restaurants that got shut down, even though he never shut down. I mean, it's just flaunt it in your face. Marie Antoinette. We don't know Marie Antoinette, as she said, let them eat cake when they were starving to death, so they stormed the palace. But from Trump, we're getting Marie Antoinette statements by his daughter out riding on horses at sunsets, and, you know, saying, oh, we're taking over this private island with the Rothschilds. Ha, ha, ha. Causes a giant revolt by millions in Albania. I mean, these guys are, I think, in their own delusional bubble. Nick, I want to play this clip of Trump. It's a short one about the small potatoes, and say, is he possessed by the avatar of James Carville or by John Podesta? Because if they could make him say things to hurt the Republicans worse, they couldn't come up with them. Here it is.
Mr. President, the vice president said yesterday that he would not describe the conflict with Iran as a war, but the U.S. resumed strikes for the first time in recent weeks. Can you explain to the American people, if this is not a war, what exactly is it?
Well, I'll tell you what, a lot of people don't call it a war. I call it a military conflict because it's small potatoes for us. It's not a big thing. We did Venezuela and we did this. In Venezuela, we lost nobody, and this, we lost 18 people. In Vietnam, you lost 100,000 people. And in other conflicts, you lost tens of thousands of people. I would say that it's intermittent, you know.
So if you could come up with a better way to hurt yourself, even if he believes that, why say it out loud? What do you think's going on there, Nick?
Well, I think in a clip like that, this is just the political necessity or the political imperative coming into conflict with his ego. I think you've seen this over and over and over again. This is something that happens with Trump, which is that maybe a situation might necessitate a certain policy, like, for example, Operation Warp Speed or a war in Iran. There's these outside pressures that coalesce and make him, quote unquote, do these things. And then I think his pride becomes bound up in it. So, for example, throughout 2020 and throughout 2024, it was a major problem for the Republican base that Trump was the father of the vaccine, that he invented the COVID vaccine, that he's the father of the lockdown, that was basically his fault, that he made that decision. And I remember at the rallies, he would get booed for taking credit for the vaccine. He would actually say, like, it's a good thing. He would say, I did Warp Speed. I made the vaccine. And, you know, we saved everybody and I handled it better than anybody. And he would get booed at the rallies, but he would persist in saying it. And I think it's sort of similar here, where he promised no new wars. And his whole policy is this, you know, what do they call it? The Don Roe doctrine, where they're going to go into Venezuela and then they're going to try this regime change in Iran. And I think that he has to defend it because he owns it. It's his conflict. It's his war. This is his policy. And so he wants to minimize it and say, from the perspective of American power, this is not a huge commitment for the United States. Iran has their back up against the wall. It's existential for them. For us, it's nothing. But the way that it comes across, obviously, is it sounds like he's minimizing the casualties, and it sounds like he's minimizing the war itself, which, of course, he is. But I don't think there's any conspiracy there. I think that's just like, this is something that you see from Trump from time to time, is that he's more of a egoist and a narcissist than he is an ideologue. And he's more of that even sometimes than a good politician. And I would say about the financial stuff, there's a very obvious explanation for that, which I've said. He goes out there consistently and very shockingly saying, I don't care about the American consumer. I don't care about prices. I don't care about gas prices. I don't care. And from the perspective of the American public, we hear that and we hear, like you said, Marie Antoinette, he's so callous. He's so out of touch. Interest rates are high. The bond market is imploding. You have all these problems. The wages are stagnating and falling behind inflation. But you have to consider this is also from the perspective of the Iranian public as well, because the Iranian strategy is they think they're going to squeeze Trump with oil, and they think they're going to squeeze him with all the knock-on effects in the broader economy. And they think that what is really going to be the hard limit for Trump is the midterms. It's not just that they're going to hurt Trump's economy and then hurt his job approval and favorability. It's that they're going to hurt those things right before the election. And that'll be particularly catastrophic, acutely problematic for Trump, because then he's going to have a divided government and then he'll get investigated, all that. And so I think this is Trump's way of undermining Iran's leverage and the hand they think they're playing. So if the Iranians are saying to themselves and to the world, we've got Trump over a barrel. We control a fifth of the world's oil. We're going to cause the economy to melt down, and you can't handle the pressure because you've got a midterm coming up. I think this is Trump's way of answering that and saying, I don't care. I don't care about approval. I don't care about the economy. You think I care about the economy? I don't. And this is like a version of Nixon's madman strategy, which is if he can present himself as erratic in a persuasive and convincing way, then maybe he can trick the Iranians into thinking that we can last longer than we really can. That's what it comes down to.
I totally agree. You know, that is very astute. And Nick, I only have guests on that I really respect. When it's in a friendly type discussion, I do have some debates with people that I don't like or respect. We'll talk about that some coming up with one of our mutual little pals, a true demon creature. But you totally nailed it, and you don't get enough credit for your geopolitical gravitas, because I study geopolitics and the world and the systems, and I watch and listen to your long analyses, and I learn stuff from it, which is saying a lot. I don't learn a ton from other people because they're so amateur at it. But you really do a great geopolitical breakdown. Just briefly, let's say 100,000 foot view on where the world is right now. And I know some people get confused by you. They get confused by me because we'll war game on air and say, for the sake of debate, is this constitutional? Is this Monroe Doctrine? Is this gunboat diplomacy? Is this Barbary pirate policy? Yes, Venezuela technically would be America first if he can go get the oil. People are childlike. They don't understand that's, we're an empire. That's how empires operate. Trump positioning. I said, I'm not for it overall because it will embolden him to try to then go into Cuba, which may fail a little bit harder, and then go into Iran, which they've even said, oh, that went well. Now I've done this. So I was very astute predicting that. Then people thought, oh, Nick and Alex are endorsing this war. No, we're simply saying that's one, if executed correctly, would be in our interest. But notice now they're saying, where's the elections? I also don't want to be in the business of setting up, you know, viceroys and all the rest of it. But is China going to run them or us? So there's a real politique to this. But then you have Israel coming in with the NDAA and all their actions trying to run us. So we can see, how does it feel to have a foreign power run you? You know, Marco Rubio is the viceroy now, you know, down there over Venezuela. They put the communist dictator's vice president, who's even worse, in charge. So I have a moral problem with that. But I can also pull back from a cold-blooded position and analyze Trump's vision there. But why don't you give us an overview? Because just because that went well, the rest of this with the dollar and inflation and him saying he doesn't give an F, yeah, long term it might magically work, but in the short term it's not, and then it has a long term buildup with the economy that's devastating things. So can you give your analysis of the geopolitical basic breakdown and then how this strategy from Trump is going and who it really benefits?
Well, it's a catastrophe. You know, and I've said it on my show. It's been described elsewhere as a pivotal error and an unforced error because it was a war of choice. It's not like we were responding to something or reacting to something. We went in there. And the real problem is that, as we've seen over the past 6 months or however long it's been, I guess about 6.5 months since the war started, we simply have no military or economic options to compel Iran to the negotiating table. In order for us to win the war, we would either need to have the regime change, which we cannot do without a ground force, with only air and sea power. So that's impossible. And then the next best option would be to suppress Iran's ability to shut down the strait and attack the Gulf countries. And in order to do that, we would have to fully and completely destroy their missile arsenal, which is impossible. It's fortified underground. It's a massive country that's like a third the size of the United States. The platforms that they launch the missiles and the workshops where they make the drones are small and mobile and remote. And so the prospect of doing either of these things, the regime is too entrenched to displace. And the missile launch platforms, the missile production facilities, and the same with drones, they're too numerous and they're too spread out and they're too mobile to destroy all of them. So what we find is that Iran is like the ultimate porcupine. And now that we're in the conflict, there's really no way that we can cleanly walk away without Iran imposing terms, which is going to consist in pushing all of our bases out of the Middle East, something the Pentagon has basically conceded. There was a report a couple weeks ago where the Pentagon said out of the 15 bases that Iran has damaged near and around the Persian Gulf, they say we have not factored the cost of repairing those bases into the total cost of the war because we haven't decided if we're even going to repair them. And what that means is we're going to scuttle them and abandon them. And we're effectively giving in and telling Iran, we are going to capitulate to your demand and move all of our military positions away from your country, away from the Persian Gulf, and giving them not just control over the strait, but military control over the entire Persian Gulf.
By the way, slow down, stop, because you pointed out, I pointed out, it's gotten almost no media coverage. Iran's main demand was pull out of the bases in the Middle East and then do not support Israel, block Israel attacking Lebanon and other areas. And now, as you pointed out, the Pentagon has said, okay, we're not going to rebuild those bases. We're going to pull back. Now, they didn't admit to Iran that's part of their demand. But that is a huge concession just by real politique. They can destroy those bases anytime they want. Then the former Soros, you know, head deputy, Scott Bessent, comes out and says, don't worry, in 2 years the strait will be obsolete, worthless water. Well, they'll just hit the pumping stations on the coast, even easier to hit than a moving ship. So, again, for anybody that understands the military issues, it's pure horse crap. So, truthfully, we're already in a strategic defeat. Walk through that, but I need to be clear, a larger overview of what this does to the U.S. and the dollar tied into Russia and China, because you talk about this being a defeat, this destroys our credibility and I think really bolsters China going into Taiwan, where I do think the U.S. will probably fight them at that point, and then we're off to nuclear war. That's why this type of cattywampus, whip-sawing, flopping around is not 3D chess, it's not checkers, it is dangerous, dangerous idiocy. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, you're right. It hasn't gotten a lot of media coverage, but Iran's demands have not changed since the very beginning. We gave them an ultimatum at the start, and our ultimatum consisted in we want the highly enriched uranium, we want the enrichment capability eliminated, we want the missile force constrained, support for proxies cut. Those were basically the demands, and Iran came back and said, well, we want the strait, and we want all your military bases out of here, we want reparations for your attacks so far, and we want a peace imposed on Israel and Lebanon. And as we've worked through the war, you could see the United States is kind of softly and indirectly capitulating to Iran. And one of those things is that when the war started, Iran destroyed, I think completely destroyed 9 of our bases near and around the Persian Gulf, and they damaged or destroyed up to 15, including the 5th Fleet headquarters in Bahrain, which was supplying the carriers there, the Lincoln and the Ford. And so Iran decimated these bases because we cannot defend them against the waves of ballistic missiles and drones. Now the United States is saying, so we've moved all the personnel out of those bases already. We've moved even the aircraft out of those bases. They say that, you know, we knew that Iran was going to hit them. We knew we couldn't defend them. So in anticipation of this, the personnel got moved further west to Jordan, to one of the bases in Riyadh in Saudi Arabia in the interior of the Arabian Peninsula. And we basically let Iran destroy these bases because they were indefensible. And now they're saying we're not going to rebuild them. And so what effectively that does is it shifts the entire U.S. military footprint out of the Persian Gulf and further west in the Middle East. And what they're saying now is that where we're going to take up position is in Israel, where we might deploy some kind of permanent force in Israel, where they would have been in Kuwait, they would have been in Qatar, where the biggest U.S. base is in the Middle East. They would have been in the Emirates. Now they're going to be in Israel. And this is a huge boon to Israel because then they get to spy on us. And there's members of the Pentagon that don't want us to move any kind of permanent facility to Israel for that very reason, because of counterintelligence and espionage that they might conduct against us. But, you know, all that being said, Iran has basically succeeded in moving America away. And what this then does is, of course, if we want to enforce any agreement on Iran, if we want to use hard power against Iran, it just takes us longer to get there, which means it's more risky. And not only that, not just for offensive purposes. So, for example, instead of bombing Iran over the Persian Gulf from the Gulf countries, now we got to fly from the middle of Saudi Arabia. Now we got to fly from Israel to hit them. So it's just logistically more difficult because it's a longer distance. But on top of that, if we don't have radar positions, this is very important. If we don't have radar that's forward deployed close to Iran that are detecting those early signals of a drone launch, a missile launch, then we have less time to anticipate an Iranian drone or missile that's headed to a U.S. facility like in Jordan or like in Israel or Saudi Arabia, which only makes it more difficult then to shoot them down. So it is a major strategic victory for Iran already. They effectively control the strait. They effectively control that entire periphery that's within range of their drones and missiles. And what is happening, I think the big picture, is that all of the conflicts that we perceived as separate are now becoming one conflict, which is to say it started in Ukraine in 2022 when Putin invaded. Then it was Epic Fury and Midnight Hammer in 25 and 26. Then everybody knows the next shoe to drop is going to be Taiwan. And whereas at one point they were seen as separate conflicts with separate interests and rules and ways that we could work them, now it's all becoming one thing because the missile economy is fungible. We are not able to fulfill contracts to Japan and South Korea of THAAD systems and Patriot missile batteries. We're like behind on an $83 million contract to Japan.
Same thing in Europe. So just state what you just said. I don't want to put words in your mouth. I went off the Pentagon's own assessments calling the Cold War World War III, and they said this new war is starting to become a new World War, World War IV. And, of course, Mark Levin and all of them had a field day. Are we at World War V yet? They're being very childish, like World War means nuclear war. No, it means a global conflict with major powers squaring off in major zones with high casualties and major damage to the world economy that then other alliances drag other groups into alliances like a domino effect. And that is the reality. And they make these jokes. They're not. Trump's not even calling this a war. My point is, I predicted years ago, if there was the Iran war, it would link up with the Ukraine war, but that was also the Pentagon assessments. But then the neocons sit there and say, we're insane. Obviously, they know it's true, and Israel's Smotrich, their finance minister, has called this ideal, forcing us into no situation to have the whole world turn against us and drive us into the arms of Israel, including our bases, which chaos was their long-term goal, as you said years ago. This is very well thought out. People need to understand, it's not like an opinion, oh, we're winning, oh, we're not winning, oh, it's just this one thing, Iran. No, this is much bigger. It's even bigger than the economy. It's about strategic power, and it's about Israel wanting to weaken our power while intensifying their power in the Middle East at our expense, and you just have to lay that at the feet of the Israel lobby. But it's still a giant gamble, Nick Fuentes.
Well, yeah, you're exactly right. It is truly, and I saw you said this in the debate, we are in World War III. We've been in World War III because, you know, what is happening now, I thought it was really interesting. A lot of people were confused by this. The CIA director, John Ratcliffe, went to Russia a couple weeks ago, visited Moscow in this very secretive mission. And they said, why was Ratcliffe in Moscow? And they said, well, he was there to warn Russia about a potential incursion into a NATO country, because what they've been saying now for a few weeks, actually, is that Russia is preparing between now and 2029 to test the resolve of NATO by doing some kind of gray area incursion into a NATO country, something that NATO doesn't account for. So if Russia started bombing Estonia, a NATO country, overnight, then the rest of NATO would have to go to war with Russia in defense of Estonia. But if Russia does a cyber attack, or let's say they conduct some kind of humanitarian rescue mission within Estonia's border, that's like a gray area. Would that invoke Article 5? Would that necessitate an attack on one against, is an attack on all response? They say that Russia is going to try that. to try to rip NATO apart. And then, of course, you know, where that's headed is that Russia's going to maybe consider attacking some of these supply chains in Europe. Right now, Ukraine is launching these longer range drones, which they've developed deep into Russia to hit their oil and gas refineries as far as Siberia to grind down Russia's war machine. On the front lines, it's a stalemate. So now it's become a war of attrition where Ukraine is bombing Russia's war economy. Russia can't really reciprocate in exactly the same way, because Ukraine is supplied by Western Europe. So where are they getting their stuff? They're not getting it from Ukraine, which is like fair game for Russia, because Ukraine isn't a NATO country. They're getting their stuff from Germany. They're getting their stuff from Sweden. They're getting their stuff from Poland. And that's off limits to Russia. So it's setting up this conflict where for Russia to win and play on a level playing field, eventually they're going to have to bring NATO into the equation. And this is raising the specter of, okay, so let's say Russia goes to war with Europe. Let's say Russia starts doing drone strikes on production facilities and energy and electrical facilities in NATO European countries. Would these countries be able to defend themselves? And the answer is no. Why? Because all those anti-aircraft systems or missile defense systems, they're all being depleted in Iran. And the same question goes then for the Pacific. How are we going to deter aggression from China and the first island chain? We're going to need those exact same systems in Japan, Taiwan, Philippines, the other.
So our entire geopolitical empire is being flushed down the toilet. Whether we defend the empire or not, it's going to really hurt when it happens, is being depleted on the altar of Israel. I don't know how Israel, their thinkers, I see in their newspapers say, oh, and their Knesset members, oh, a week in America is good for us. They'll still need us. We'll be the center of global trade. That's delusional. Once we're not there, nobody's going to be there to protect Israel. Pakistan has nukes. They force a nuclear umbrella agreement with Saudi Arabia and Turkey now. I mean, I can geopolitically look at this horrible long-term move for Israel, but they don't seem to care. Is that just deranged chutzpah or what's happening?
I think that there's a secret benefit there. And I think that this is what a lot of people don't account for, which is that in the end of all of this, Iran will be totally weakened, if not destroyed. But so will the United States. The United States will be hollowed out by the energy crisis, all these other problems. Is it the worst thing in the world that the United States is diminished compared to Israel? I think that's actually better for Israel because it gives them a lot more leverage. Israel sees itself as a future regional power and a potential superpower. And they've said that openly. They've started to say that recently, that Israel is going to be the dominant regional force. And then as the dominant regional force in the center of the Rimland, this is like geopolitics 101 going back to Mackinder and Spikeman. If they're in the center of the world island, which is the commerce between Europe, Asia, and Africa, if they're in the center of the Rimland that divides all these continents, that is the most advantageous position to be in. So it's not just that they're dominating one region, they're dominating literally the central region.
And that's because,
is it bad?
For people that don't know, Zabrinsky expanded on that original doctrine, center of the chessboard. They're controlling the center of the chessboard.
Exactly, right. To put it that way, yeah, they're in the center of everything. And it's not the worst thing that the United States is diminished, and so is Russia, and so is China. That's been their playbook in a microcosm in the Middle East, which is to lower everybody else so that relatively they will rise. So I think that might even be part of this sick calculus, as opposed to some unintended, unfortunate side effect. That's the plan.
I know they admit that's their plan. I agree with you. But now it's driven Pakistan with nukes to create this umbrella, and the Arabs are all joining them in Turkey. And then Israel's openly saying we went war with Turkey. Talk about biting off more than they can chew. Back in 2 minutes with Nick Fuentes. And then we're going to shift gears into the midterms, geopolitics, the future of post-Trump, and more. Stay with us. My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you, it's go after your merchant accounts. Go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for 1 second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when. Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine.
because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Online merchants, this is the place for you. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
All right, I know folks want to talk about domestic stuff and all the fights that are going on and all the craziness and Hassan Piker and, you know, the rest of it, and this Michigan congressional candidate saying he hates the cult of work, and Democrat Socialist of America saying that, I'll play the clip, I'm sure Nick's probably already seen it, where they're like, literally being in shape is what the man wants. Be a big fat blob, that's how you beat them. So they make their own bodies cloward and piven. It's all coming up in this hour with Nick Fuentes. This is a shorter segment, but I wanted to just play this now for you. And then we'll only have a few minutes for you to respond, but here I am on that debate that finally aired with the neocons, with Will Chamberlain, and they were deer in the headlights on Section 219 of the NDAA, and it just shows how they're either lying or these guys are completely ignorant. Here it is.
First off, I mean, it's R&D cooperation. And, I mean, Israel is a leader in cybersecurity technology, in drones, and missile defense, obviously, given how much they've been defending themselves. We want the benefit of that technology for ourselves. The idea that there's no other countries that are, like, have this sort of integration is wrong. That's Five Eyes. This isn't, and really the whole concept that this is like some sort of merger is just like Soros funded nonsense coming from the Quincy Institute, right? Like they're the people behind most of this stuff. The head of the Quincy Institute, she was the head of George Soros' foreign policy operation for a decade before she went there. And now they're like putting out via responsible statecraft stuff like the Israeli and U.S. militaries are merging. They're not, right? There's no merger of the chains of command.
It's R&D. It's our most sensitive technology.
And it's their most sensitive technology too that we get the benefit
of. We don't give them unfettered access.
We give them intelligence, not R&D from DARPA right down to telemetry and satellite directives. It says it creates a special office that is only oversaw by the president, and it talks about mergers, integration, lifetime of everything to the entire chain. And you talk about, oh, Soros is behind this, Soros is upset. The Pentagon, 2 days after it passed out of committee in the House, now passed the full House, is at the Senate, unprecedented, literal coup over our most sensitive stuff. The Pentagon, the Defense Intelligence Agency, joined by six other agencies, said Israel is now the highest level national security threat for infiltration and spying and espionage. Are they controlled by George Soros? It says over and over again in 219. And there's a Senate bill that Senator Cotton's supporting that integrates all the intelligence as well. That's also in Section 219. So to say that, oh, they've got some missile systems, Netanyahu wrote letters to the committee chairman thanking him for including his language that he wrote, then Section 224, now Section 219. Netanyahu wrote the section that literally says that this individual is co-equal to the Secretary of Defense and can merge everything in live time. You don't believe me.
I've not heard any of this. You create a cabinet. They're creating a cabinet position?
No, it creates a special officer within the Pentagon who is only reports to Congress once a year and to the president, and who has, and who cannot be challenged, it says, by any other Pentagon head. Word for word, don't believe me, go to the NDAA, Defense Authorization Act 2027, now in the U.S. Senate, and read Section 219. Do not believe me.
Okay. I mean, I, like, I suspect, I doubt that. But I will, you know, we don't have it in front of us.
It says no other department head could even question them.
Okay. But even just the concept, if there's something that we like that the Israelis are doing in, you know, counter-drone, counter-missile technology, then we can come up with a unilateral contract where we say, hey, we're going to work together on this one project. Yes. The unfettered access is just a major mistake for us to do. If any country, but especially a country that's led us off into war.
Yeah, it's got to be unilateral. Piece by piece is fine. But I mean, that, look, Israel doesn't want us to give the new fighters to Turkey. I mean, but think about this. Israel, anything they contribute to, they co-own. Netanyahu says, we won't need your money anymore because we'll be merged with your military industrial complex. We got a big enough problem having our own government running that, much less plus Israel won't be a 51st state. Israel will be co-equal in this.
All right. I don't want to go to Nick now because there's only 40 seconds to break. I'm going to come back and have him respond to that. Then we're going to shift gears to a whole bunch of domestic stuff. I'm going to ask Nick on air, should I debate Sneeko again? I said I would, and he wants me to debate his imam first. And is calling me scared to debate him. I'm not scared of a stupid imam. I don't even know who this clown is. It's another guy in a nightgown for all I think. So, but at the same time, I'm not going to have that rat dictate to me what I do. He's going to shove it up his ass. Be right back. Stay with us. Ladies and gentlemen, when you go to FreedomRx, you have to understand that it's about preserving health and upholding values. Your health, your business, nobody else's. The folks that own this are patriots. They first came to me 4 years ago wanting to do this. I agreed three. They had it built about a year ago. They kept adding to it. But going through all the stuff we went through, I wanted to wait till we had a new operation to launch it with this incredible sponsor. But now it's ready. There are so many incredible things. The very best testosterone, energy, muscle, libido, mood, sexual health, PT-141. Woo, look out. Talk about the true aphrodisiac. Oxytocin protocols for men and women, longevity, recovery, all the good peptides, the NAD, all of them. HIPAA compliant, your health information is 100% protected. They got everything. Go there now, and it supports this broadcast with the best doctors and nurses, the best backbone, the best people. Your health, your business, nobody else's. Go now to freedomrxhealth.com.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Well, I respect Nick J. Fuentes a lot because I've known him for 10 years and he knew what he was talking about when he was 18 years old, 17 years old, and he knows what he's talking about even more now. And he can already just tear up Dinesh D'Souza, who's not a lightweight, or anybody else he debates, because he's got facts, he's got research. My problem is I know as much as Nick does in many levels, sometimes more in one area, he knows more in others. When I did that four-hour debate with those guys, they were just so full of crap and so lightweight that really I just wanted to leave because it was so boring hearing them just go, oh, really? You think so? These appeals to emotion when I could sit there on any issue and destroy them word for word on any fact. But for those who just joined us, we played a clip from this MAGA versus America First. Really, debate should have been what is post-MAGA, what comes after Trump. And I think Strzok's going to have some more of those debates. Hopefully Nick can come down to one of those. So, like he said, we can have more heavyweight people there. But I have to tell you that it's shocking because I was the guy, not because I'm on the payroll of Israel or not because, you know, any of that stuff you've heard, that's all BS. I would just call balls and strikes, criticize Israel and did something bad. But we had China to deal with, the Muslims, the left, big tech. Israel really is saying we run America. I can play you. I've played them. They're top. Rabbis, a whole bunch of their Knesset, Netanyahu's people, and they are coming in and primarying people. That the ADL has 39 laws passed in states to felonies. If you get a government contract, if you ever criticize Israel, totally unconstitutional, serious First Amendment killing stuff that I'm very allergic to dealing with the Democrats. And I go on for hours, all the stuff Israel's doing, but they are really making a real move on running this country. They've left the Democrats, and now they've run over to the Republican Party, and they don't want to join with America Firsters and adopt our stuff. They now are making us the enemy to push us out, so they fully control it. Instead, they're just destroying the Republican Party. Then you have these influencers that, Netanyahu admittedly spent $1.3 billion out of the Knesset, and that's what we know of the last year and a half, buying them. We know they're on the payroll through subsidiaries. A lot of them admit it. And how are they going to feel when we lose the midterms? Right? But they don't care because they have nothing that they stand for. You could say Nick disagree with him on this or that, but at the end of the day, he's right from his position when he's saying, and he believes it and has integrity. Not only respect that, but at a certain point, to me, it's a nightmare scenario because now you have Israel in a corner, put itself there on purpose. Now, you know, he says this teaches us to be strong, total war. It's good for us. They actually understand that which doesn't kill you only makes you stronger. And the average American's kind of woke up to Israel partly, but doesn't realize how truly diabolical this is. How do you respond to that? Well, Israel doesn't care about us, and it gives cover for the Chinese, what they're doing, cover to all the rest of the looting that's going on. I mean, it is a dark prognosis for this country and the world is all I can say. And so speaking to what you saw with the deer in the headlights by Will Chamberlain and all of them, and it goes on for like 10 minutes, then they start laughing, saying it's not true. Everyone knows it's not true. That's not how you debate, giving no facts. What is your take on that? And just in a larger perspective, we know they're going to false flag and blow up a bunch of Jewish stuff. You spoke out against offensive violence. Clearly, even though Israel's in a bad position right now, they've got tricks up their sleeves to come out as the victims in this. Is there any way you see out of this? That's a lot. Please unpack it.
Yes. Well, the clip was very good because I watched that debate. And what's notable is that the only person on the other side that was Jewish was Will Chamberlain. Will Chamberlain is Jewish. But Andrew Wilson and Crowder's producer and Doyle, these are all Gentiles. These are all white Christians. I believe they're all Christian. I know Wilson's Orthodox, Doyle's Catholic. I think the other guy's Protestant. And so the reason I frame it this way is because somebody like Will Chamberlain, I guess he works for NatCon. He works for National Conservatism Conference, which is run by Yoram Hazony. Yoram Hazony, who is born in Israel, is a dual citizen of Israel and the United States. He runs the Herzl Institute and the Shalem Center in Israel. Point being, he's a Jewish nationalist. He's an Israeli partisan. He's not America first. He's not an American nationalist. He's an Israeli. And Will Chamberlain, as a Jew, works for him. Why does Will Chamberlain support Israel and this project? Well, ostensibly, it's out of the same ethnic allegiance. Like, when they're talking about the NDAA, and they're saying, well, it merges the military or it fuses the technological R&D development, Will Chamberlain hand waves that away because he's pro-Israel. Like, if it was even more extreme, he would support it because he's pro-Israel. He's a pro-Israel partisan. What's fascinating, though, is that the other people on the debate hand wave it away because to them, it's just like this inconvenience that the Republican Party and Trump happen to be in the pocket of Israel. And to me, that's the real tragedy. That's the saddest part, because I know you are more pro-Trump than me and we're more optimistic about it and even with regard to Vance. But I think you're coming at it from the right place, because what we agree on fundamentally is we're Christians and we're America first. We're loyal to the United States. These other guys on the panel, it's almost like in a creepy, weird way, they're more pro-Trump than they are pro-America. If Trump does something that's Israel first, they'll defend it because it's him. If Trump does something that puts American national security at risk or compromises us, they'll support it because it's him. And that's where I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. It's like, at what point does Trump push too far where these people are going to say, wait a second, this is contrary to the entire message, that they'll support Lindsey Graham. Many of them are saying now that George W. Bush is a good guy. They're supporting a war with Iran. I look at this other cast of characters and I'm like, what happened to you? Like, who are these people? You're white Gentiles, Christians, claim to be American patriots, and yet you're going to support everything that compromises the United States to Israel because it's Trump that is the one doing it. So I'm waiting for these people to kind of snap out of it and realize that we should really be the ones holding the cards instead of the ones that are left holding the bat. Because to me, I look at the Trump movement, and I think I said this on your show before, something that they like to say now, and I think I've heard you say it also, and I agree with the sentiment, people say that Trump is squandering the generational coalition. They say that, you know, we brought this big coalition together, won the popular vote, won the electoral college. We were going to do all the things, cut the deficit $2 trillion, put the global minimum tariff on everybody, no new wars, and the war in Ukraine. We were going to do all the good stuff. They said, and then Trump's mishandling of the Epstein files, launching the war in Iran, is blowing all it up and squandering all the potential. And it's like, when are people going to realize that it's the Israeli faction that did this? They ruined the coalition. They, prioritizing their interests, blew it all up, and they blew it for all of us. Now, we can't get mass deportations. We can't get a tariff schedule. We can't get DOGE. We can't get the government efficacy. We can't do any of these things because they have made Trump politically toxic and radioactive and poisonous, and it's literally only because of their issues. But what other than Epstein files and Iran war has made Trump more unpopular?
And let me back
it's
you
nothing.
Up. And let me back you up. It's literally Israeli-run scandals. Epstein means their baby more than anything. It's got other intelligence involved, but it's mainly that, like 80%. The war is them. And then I see articles all the time by the ADL. Anyone saying Israel started this war, we're going to get you. We're going to deplatform you, debank you, censor you. When you've got Randy Fine and all the rest of them on TV saying, damn right we did this, damn right we want to run America, and the head of Meta censorship saying, yeah, we put Jews in all the censorship positions, we're going to censor all you. And if you say it's Jews, we're going to censor you. So they're like daring people. And they want this fight, and you know me, I'm not looking for it. You were working at the Daily Wire, and they came after you to censor you. They persecuted you, you know, 12 years ago, so you said, screw you. And they're just making enemies faster than you can. And it, you know, to me, it's just insane. And as you mentioned, that Will Chamberlain kept saying during the debate, I am a hyper-Zionist. I'm a super-Zionist. I am Israel first. So he's very, very proud of this. And then the other guys are, like, denying that Section 219 says this when it says it clearer than day.
Well, and what's funny about Chamberlain is he looks like a Gentile, and his name sounds like, you know, Will Chamberlain. So he gets to sit on a panel of white Gentile Christians with his white Gentile name and his white Gentile face, but being a Jew, and pretend to be like some kind of reasonable guy on the topic. Like, hey, everybody, look, I'm not like Ben Shapiro with this yarmulke. I'm Will Chamberlain. I'm a national conservative. I'm a national populist. And I think that being pro-Israel, you know, that's just good policy. I'm not a hyper-partisan Jew that supports Israel because my ethnicity. You know, this is just good policy. We're nationalists. And I'm just looking at Wilson and the other guy in Doyle as just like the bit. And I like Andrew Wilson. However, it's like you are being cucked. Like you all are letting this guy and what he represents run your movement into the ground, run your coalition, run this administration into the ground. What I would have liked to see is J.D. Vance go to the Republican Jewish coalition because they don't like him. And that's something that, you know, maybe that's a credit to Vance. I know you like him more than I do. I would have liked to see Vance go to the RJC and say, I know you don't like me and I don't really like you, but you know what? We're your only chance. And there's more of us than there are of you. And if you want the DSA not to win, if you don't want these left-wing nut jobs to win, then you better fall in line and know your place. Why are these people in the senior position and not the junior position? We should have the upper hand. The coalition that got Trump elected was white people. It's not only white people, but they are by far and away, I think 90% of the Trump voters are white. It's white people, it's Christians. This is obviously the big block of voters behind the Republican and the Trump coalition. So we should be calling the shots a little bit more than people like Randy Fine and Mark Levin and Laura Loomer and Will Chamberlain. But the problem is it's these like sucker white people that are getting tricked to work against their own interests. And they're going to sit on the sideline during this debate.
That's right.
And they're going to argue for this foreign interest that is clearly being prioritized to the detriment of the national interest, which apparently they're supposed to support. So I look at those guys, almost feel bad for them. And I want to say, like, what are you doing on that side of the aisle? You should be. And I, you know, I got my disagreements with Kent, but I agree with him on foreign policy. It's like you guys should be on the side of Alex Jones, Joe Kent, Kai, Joel Webbin, Fishback. Like, we are the ones that are advocating for our own side. Take your own side.
Well, that's right.
You know, there's no amount of eating a garbage that they will tolerate. You'd think it would have been enough by now, but they're still hungry for more. So that's what I saw.
I agree. Let me be clear on this because I rarely can watch your shows. I tend to go to bed about 10, but I do work out a lot of driving the car and you at least listen to 45 minutes a day. And I see clips and I get what you're saying when people ask you super chats, but I want to be 100% clear. I am critical of Candace Owens when she says theories and things that can be disproven.
And I think there is a tranny movement to kill, and they said they would kill him. And I think Tyler Robinson's heavily involved. We know that the vice president ordered a cover-up. That the president ordered a cover-up of foreign involvement. I'm not saying Israel did it. I've just been calling balls and strikes. Now you have the supposed shooter pleading not guilty when they told us he was always going to say that he was guilty. I've talked to some of the family. They said, we're scared. We won't tell you, but what you're being told is not true. 98% is a lie. And so all I'm saying is there is some cover-up there. So to sit there and deny that we could look at it is stupid. So that's where I stand on that. And I just wanted to address that. And we have the anniversary of Kirk getting killed coming up here in just 3 days. Then I wanted to address the Vance thing, because I see you say, I like Alex. He's right on a lot of things, but we're diverging now some because he wants Vance. That's not what I do. When people ask of who we've got that's prominent, Marco Rubio's a neocon, very competent, but I don't trust him. Ted Cruz is good on some social things, absolute Zionist, even worse than Rubio. Don't trust him, really sociopathic, makes my skin crawl. Then people say, why do you support him for the Senate? Well, better than the Democrats. And then I'm like, Vance, who I know, who stood up for me when I was being censored, all the rest of it, I know behind the scenes is fighting with Israel. Behind the scenes was against the war. People that were in the meetings was the guy that helped put out, and I'll leave it at that, and got the message. I'm going to stop there. About the inside meeting with Patel killing any investigations. So I know actually behind the scenes, it's not just for to look like a populist. And I know he comes out of Thiel and, you know, all the rest of it. I'm not saying I even trust him. I'm saying if I had to sit there with the lesser two evils and vote for Gavin Newsom or AOC, who are the two front runners, the Democrats, if I had to vote, I mean, if it was AOC and Gavin Newsom against Ted Cruz, I would abstain like I did with Obama and McCain because they were both so bad. Okay. And I'll announce that if that's the case. I'm just saying I don't know how I could morally sit there. It's not buying into it again. It's not being conned again, as I've heard you say about people that support Vance. I know some are being conned, just totally believe it. I'm saying I don't know how under self-preservation J.D. Vance isn't going to tell the DOJ to put me in prison. And I've told you this on air and off air. Brother, it's just at a preservation level. You know, if the Democrats are about to get back in, I'm going to keep fighting, but I got to leave, okay? I came very close to going to prison. So for me, it is... I never sold out for money, and it's not selling out to support a lesser two evils so you can stay in the country. So I'm being honest with you. That's not from some naivete, and I've got a little doll I sleep with at night of J.D. Vance. I'm saying, what would you do with those pieces?
I'm never going to vote for Vance. I'm never, ever, ever, ever going to vote for Vance or support him. And I'll tell you why. I don't trust him at all. I think he's a complete chameleon. I mean, you and I both know, look, if you were in 2016, if you didn't get it then, you don't get it. In 2016, he voted for Evan McMullen. In 2017, he was like lionizing Obama. In 2017, saying Obama's so cerebral and so smart. I'm sorry, that's a guy that doesn't get it.
Yeah, he was a never-Trumper, so his pedigree is where you have an issue.
And it's not even just that. More than that, it's the power behind him. The power behind him is tech, and tech is inextricably connected with Israel. When Israel got attacked on October 7th, Palantir flew their entire board to Israel to meet with them. Palantir opened up 200 spots at their company earmarked for Jews because of anti-Semitism after October 7th. Thiel said, I defer to Israel about these contracts. Alex Karp runs it. The only reason Alex Karp cares about immigration is because he believes it's creating more anti-Semitism and it's creating this dialectical process that leads to the far right. So when you realize that it's people like Sean McGuire, who has an Israeli wife and kids, Jewish nationalist, it's people like Joe Lonsdale, it's people like Bill Ackman. I know he's not finance, but or rather not tech. He's finance. When it's people like this that are a part of this, whatever this is, this movement, I just don't trust it. And I don't trust that Vance is going to defer to the so-called posters. Like at the end of the day, when he's creating his National Security Council, is he going to be putting in Captive Dreamer and John Doyle, or is he going to be putting in the Claremont Institute and David Sachs, who's been with Tucker and Elon and Thiel from the very beginning? It's going to be tech. He's going to defer to the tech.
Well, let me
people.
Ask you and this. You can't, I think that's all very fair and reasonable and a very defensible position. And I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying I am more friendly towards Vance. Because you do see the Israel lobby, not just publicly, behind the scenes, doesn't like him. And I see all the hit piece stories on him, but not against the others. So what do you make of that? And then who would you support? Who is there? What do we need?
They did the same thing to Trump. This is why I say fell for it again. I'm not calling you naive. I'm just saying everything that you could say about Vance now, you could have said about Trump then. In 2015, Shapiro, all these guys were never Trumpers. Trump stuck it to them initially and then eventually bowed to them. And it didn't take long. Even in 2023, the Israeli money was against Trump. They were all behind DeSantis, all of them. And they paid that whole influencer network to support DeSantis. And it was only after, and by the way, you know who else was behind DeSantis? Elon and David Sachs. DeSantis announced his campaign on X in a space with Elon Musk and David Sachs. David Sachs is going to be J.D. Vance's chief of staff. Elon's going to be the money behind him. And all the Israeli money was behind DeSantis, too. They didn't want Trump. And then when DeSantis failed, they shifted to Haley. They reluctantly went behind Trump at the last minute in May or June of 24 because he was their only option and they had to deal with him. And I just think that when push comes to shove, we're going to see the same process with Vance. They don't like him now, but if they had to, they're going to get behind him eventually. And Vance is, I think, going to bend the knee because he's weak. That's why it factors in that he's with tech and that he's an unreliable, untrustworthy guy. And who would it be other than him? Well, I don't know. I mean, I hope somebody else runs in 28, but I'm not going to vote for Vance and I'm not going to vote for a Democrat. So I'm going to hope that someone runs. And I think the only way that anybody else would even have a shot as if Trump and Vance miserably fail in the next 2 years. But my real, honestly, as things are taking shape, I think it's a trap and whoever is going to be the nominee in 28 is going to lose anyway, no matter what. And I hope, I pray it's Vance and I hope all his ambitions and everybody behind him, I hope it all crashes and burns with him at the feet of the DSA or John Ossoff or something.
Well, I
can't wait.
I mean, I think Vance knows that. That's why he's been trying to distance himself rhetorically and in stuff from Trump. I think he knows that. And I see your point about punishing them and make it worse before it gets better, kind of an accelerationist position. I'm not saying you literally support that, but the way you're saying from the actions, it is an acceleration. The Democrats are going to pack the Supreme Court. They're going to go for broke. They're going to try to arrest everybody. They're going to make Trump look like a Boy Scout, in my view. I'm not saying you're wrong, but how do you respond to that?
Well, I would say, because I hear this all the time, they say, well, you know, the Dems are going to pack the courts, they're going to make D.C. and Puerto Rico a state, they're going to, okay, well, if all that is true, then why would John Thune not get rid of the filibuster and pass the SAVE Act? You ever notice it's the urgency is only for the plebeians. The sense of urgency, you know, the Republicans are always holding back the night. They're always the ones,
no, I agree,
you know, standing in the way, but they never take it as seriously as they want us to. They say, vote like your life depends on it. Really? Get rid of the filibuster. If it's life or death, look, they're going to pack the courts anyway. They're going to get rid of voter ID. The way the Democrats are talking, they're talking about process. They're going to make it like so they can never lose again. Well, if that's the case, what do we have to lose getting rid of the filibuster? They won't do it. And that's always my issue is like,
I totally agree. Yeah, but here's the problem. Thune and those old Republicans want back to the uniparty. That's the deal with the Bush crews meeting with the Democrats. They want to go back. But I'm saying the communists are taking over the Democratic Party. They know that. And I think it's a major miscalculation, just like the establishment made with Trump the first time. He just used it to parlay for power. They're going to move in and Thune and all of them are idiots.
I agree. But that's the Republican leadership that we have. You know, what we have is numbnuts in the House and we got John Thune in the Senate and the Supreme Court just let us down over. I mean, it's two Trump appointed justices that have birthright citizenship that gave us birthright citizship still.
That's because Heritage Foundation computer to pick the judges.
FedSoc, it was Federalist Society and Mitch McConnell that put all those names in Heritage. Yeah, I mean, that's the same movement conservatism. So as time goes on, I'm almost hoping that it's like when Bismarck took Germany to war against France. You know, it's like the far left is the huge force. They are going to lay siege to the right. And I think what that's going to force is for the right to get behind the strong horse, which is the young nationalists. And I think that's the only thing that's going to change that balance of power. Because the way it is, if we get Vance in charge, who's going to be running the admin? It's going to be all the same establishment types. And it's going to be like that in perpetuity until they
stay there. We're going to go break, finish up with this when we come back, and then we'll get to the other stuff. You're right. The long game is the way to win one way or another. Like communists, sleeper cells. institutionally, nonviolently, as lawyers, as bureaucrats, as people in the system, go get the best degree, go into the system, build your networks now, act just like the communists, don't tell people who you really are, don't people who you really stand for, like the song Silent Running, and then hit them. That's the surest way. We're more competent than them, we're smarter than them, and we can act like moderates, and other people that are not, you know, uncloaked like I am or Nick is, and we'll come back, as Nick is dead on about the surest way to beat this is long game. That's how they're beating us. We got to go long game. Then we don't fight the current fight either, but under the surface, major long game. Stay with us. My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts. Go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. It's globalist siege. It's globalist economic warfare. It's a globalist blockade, an embargo, sanctions against American populist patriots. For everyone that's been watching and listening to me for years, you've seen the attacks. You've seen the deplatforming. You've seen the court battles, the news articles, the demonization, the bogus default judgments. We even have FBI and CIA operatives on hidden camera talking about how their entire goal was to take me out at the knees by knocking out my ability to accept payments. And that model they used on me, they admit, is for all of you.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
So with Alex Jones, and the goal with him was what, just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much.
Well, because of First United Payments and your support, they failed. And they failed because I had a processor with a backbone who loves America and believes in the free market. One who stands up for American justice and who didn't back down when they received threatening messages and pressure from other major institutions. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Consolidation, vertical integration, that is the goal of the BlackRock globalist system. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. This is the key to their entire panopticonic takeover plan, in their own words. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. Visit First United Payments now at FirstUnitedPayments.com. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. That's 877-899-1313. The tyrants are counting on us not to innovate. They're counting on us not to migrate to institutions and organizations that are pro-human just like us. This isn't some new company. I've been using them for almost a decade. They're already taking care of most of the patriots. Whether you're a florist, have a gas station, or you're a farmer, or you've got a little five and dime shop or a factory, whatever it is, online merchants, this is the place for you. These guys are patriots, and they're in our corner. They're Americans just like us, and they hate the New World Order with a passion. They believe in the free market, and they understand this is 1776 2.0. 90% of it is information warfare and financial, and this is just as important as the right to self-defense and guns. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down, and First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Thank you so much. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
live from Austin, Texas, it's Alex Jones.
I want to ask Nick Fuentes about Mogatard, the mega meme. I want to get into should I debate Sneeko again. I invited him to, but he made all these weird rules. I got to talk to his imam first on the show. I mean, next I got to date his sister. So, you know, that's all coming up in the time we have with Nick. And Nick's got some big announcements coming in the future. Very exciting things he's doing. We got some big announcements here as well. Before I go any further, because I didn't plug last hour, we had them shut down InfoWars after 8 years trying, the CIA, DOJ involved. We set up the Alex Jones Network thanks to your support. But this is just a emergency backup system. We've got huge announcements on InfoWars and a bunch of stuff I'm not going to tell you yet. I should be ready to launch and tell you this stuff early next week. Okay? In fact, I'm pretty much ready to do it tomorrow, but we want to really promote this and when we announce it. And you saw us win the big court victory 3 weeks ago. And I told you that's a 1 on a Richter scale. The next thing is a 3 on a Richter scale. The next thing is a 7 on a Richter scale. And then sometime in the next few months, it's going to be a 10 on a Richter scale. And each thing on a Richter scale is exponential. Okay. You know, doesn't just double, it logarithmically increases. So thanks for the prayers. Thanks for the support. But I don't want to be in this marathon and we're in the last half mile and I didn't get enough electrolytes and this operation has a heart attack and falls over dead. And that's where we are. We've survived this long, been through all this hell, thanks to your support and prayers. And now, on my children, I don't swear to God because you're not supposed to, but on my children, okay, I do not live a flamboyant life. I don't have a bunch of extra crap. I don't care. All the stuff you ever heard about me having all these hundreds of millions wasn't true. The New York Times had to admit. Turns out Jones always had meager finances because to them what they were saying, hundreds of millions, you know, having a 100-acre farm and living in a couple-million-dollar house, they're like, God, he didn't have hundreds of millions of dollars. Wait, at the peak, he had a couple-million-dollars in the bank. I've never had over $10 million in the bank. Not that it's bad. I wish I did. I could do a lot more. We got a $10 million Bitcoin donation one time. By the time I cashed in, it was down to like $9 million. We used it over a 2-year shortfall. Literally, when the accountants did the numbers 2 years later, they go, without that $9 million, you would have shut down. Of all the legal bills and the fights. It was that donation took us through over 2 years of $4+ million underages every year. And then they had the IRS do multiple year-long audits, and they came back and said, this is rare. You overpaid $4.3 million the last 5 years, and then put that in. It went into the bankruptcy, but they were in control of the company. They spent a bunch of it for more investigations with forensic accountants, but under the law, it had to keep us running. So a few million went to forensic accountants to try to find dirt. The other went into the employees and kept us open again. The IRS. It's like they had the IRS multiple audits, 4 outside forensic accountants over 3.5 years. So they wanted to keep the bankruptcy open and would never let it close because they were trying to find dirt. I know I'm ranting. Go back to Nick Fuentes. What's the name of it? The Paul Weiss law firm, the top Democrat law firm running it all. And we're still here. Then the local judge orders InfoWars closed, says the Onion owns it again after a fake auction 2 years ago. 4 months ago, she says, you must leave or I'll arrest you and hold you in contempt. Orders the receiver to do that. And my lawyers are like, you ready to go to jail? And I said, I'm ready to go. And they said, let's just not do that. She can keep you in there for up to a month. Let's just leave, but our lawsuits will be much stronger. I'm just going to stop right there. Well, behind the scenes at the state and federal courts, we've been busy with your support. 3 different lawsuits, one of them civil rights, deposed over 50 of these buggers, got whistleblowers, insiders, documents that I'm not going to reveal yet. But if you think the stuff that came out before was devastating, pretty sensational. CIA, DOJ funding it. We got stuff that makes that look like one French fry compared to a giant triple cheeseburger, okay? So, But here's the thing. I'm getting right up to the end of this. I'm like a quarter mile ahead of people, but I'm like starting to have a heart attack here needing some Gatorade, folks. I need money to win this fight. I know the economy's shot. I know retail's down 12% everywhere. I get it. But we're the place to spend the money. Plus, the products are insane. Just get us across the finish line. Get great products at the same time. Every order gets a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss. Doesn't have a sexy name. Does sexy things. It is a super nutrient. Ours is the strongest. Have the very best methylene blue, the very best bovine colostrum, the very best Shilajit, all the other very best supplements at the Alex Jones store.
Patriotapparel.com, the widest selection of t-shirts, Patriot Apparel, it's all there. It takes funds to win a war. You've invested so much in this fight. Our victories are all because of your support. No matter how hard I want to fight, cannot do it without you. If you're for America first, if you're for us continuing on, we need funds because we've got the, wait till you see, stuff ready to fire back up. And my lawyers are sitting there locked and loaded in these operations. They're like, well, you have enough to keep beating them like this. But if we had more, we could do all this. And I'm sitting there with a BB gun shooting at them nonviolently. It's an analogy. And they're like, literally, like, I can be handed a 50 cal, okay? I mean, it's like in a video game. I'm winning it with, like, the weakest weapon. And you guys are the ones that have to give me the mushroom. You give me the mushroom, I'm unstoppable together. So get the, by the way, they have great coffee with mushrooms in it that are good for your immune system. That's all at thealexjonesstore.com. Take action. Support us. I want to salute all those that did in the past. I want to ask you to back us now because we've been through hell. We've been put on the terrorism list, the no-fly list, and the lawsuits, and the debanking, and the harassment. And that's how you know when somebody's real. Nick Fuentes has as well. So support us at thealexjonesstore.com. Get your Membenzidol and your ivermectin. That's the total anti-parasitic and so much more. They don't want you to know about at 1776rx.health. Sign up for a subscription. Get it for half price. Take action now. It takes money to win revolutions. We are devastating the enemy. There are no places that you can invest in the fight against tyranny better than the AlexJonesStore.com. There's no better places other than somewhere like what Nick Fuentes is doing when it comes to real information. Speaking of that, he's not a sponsor, but I really support him. He goes on other shows. They don't do this. I've got, this is my hat right here. Look at this. That is a America First Nick J. Fuentes hat at Fuentes.store. And I know he's got big announcements coming and big things he's been doing when it comes to expansion that are top secret that you'll hear about very, very soon. So he understands in this fight, he is doubling down. Look at those hats. I'm jealous of those. Damn it. Put those back up. So that's Fuentes.store. But let's go to their main page. Look at some of those hats. That's something. Oh, look at that one with the American shield on it and those, and the golden leaves of victory. You got the lightning bolts and all the rest of it. Get it all right now at Fuentes.store and support the great work he's doing as well. Because if we don't support each other, if we don't hang together, we will certainly hang separate. Oh, socks. Okay, I'm ripping that off. It's over. So a lot of great stuff at Fuentes.store. That's what it's all about here. And Nick supported me when I was being censored. I supported him. And, you got Nick with his wife there and so much more. So, oh my goodness. So, and that's politically correct too. So get it all at Fuentes.store. But whatever you do, spread the word about what we're doing because without you, we are nothing. This dog doesn't hunt without you. All right, Nick, I'm ranting. That was a long plug, but what you want to say a few things just about in general about some of the exciting stuff you've got coming up?
Yeah, sure. Well, I really appreciate the plug on the store, but yeah, we just launched or are preparing to launch one of our first big projects from the foundation. It's called the America First Scorecard. And a lot of people are wondering, we have this midterm strategy. We want the Democrats to win the midterms. And some races, of course, though, we do have America First Republicans that are running, or we did. People like James Fishback or Thomas Massey. So we put together a resource through the nonprofit wing of the movement, the America First Foundation. It's called the Scorecard. And we basically went through and evaluated every single member of Congress and gave them a grade on the three pillars of America First, which are immigration, trade, and foreign policy. So we give a letter grade on each of those issues and then an aggregate score, which is also a letter grade. And we did it by going through every vote and every sponsorship and co-sponsorship on every bill that every member of Congress has ever voted on or sponsored or co-sponsored. And it's a resource so that people can look at their local congressman or look at their representative and figure out if they're worth voting for. And they can read through and look at the information and make that decision based on how those politicians came down on some of the critical issues. So that'll be coming out next week. And we got some other stuff coming down the pike a little later in the year as well.
So you're not ready to tell people about one of the exciting things you told me about a few months ago?
Not yet. Not just yet, but soon.
But the point is you're getting ready to take the gloves off.
Oh, yeah. Yes. We're getting ready to really go all the way and take it to the next. It's like you said, next level. We're ready to go next level.
Next level.
Next level. Right.
Speaking of next level idiocy, Sneeko, I guess you knew him, traveled some with him. I was familiar a little bit with what the stuff he does. Truly, it might be like an attention whore. And whenever I said we ought to deport him, that was just a figure of speech. I mean, you've got the Deport Sneeko shirt. That's a must have. Heald says, hey, I want to have you on my show. I said, sure, if you come on mine, sure, I'll come on tomorrow, I promise. Then he ghosts us after I go on with him, and I said, okay, and then I pointed it out, and he says, no, I've agreed to come on. Doesn't respond to me, doesn't respond to my producer, so I stop. Then I don't even notice that there's a text from him saying, okay, talk to my imam. I didn't see it for like a week. Talk to my, because I'll go back through my old text. Talk to my imam and have him on, and then I'll come on. And so I basically text him and say, no, you need to come on. He can come on with you. Then all of a sudden, he's running around last week saying Alex Jones is a coward. He won't interview my imam. And he starts playing recordings of me that aren't even in context. It doesn't even prove what he's saying, which pisses me off. I mean, it's nothing embarrassing, but what are you doing, dude? I send you audio things when I'm driving, like I do everybody. I don't have time to have a car wreck and, you know, type it out or do voice to print because AI doesn't get my voice right, so it messes up unlike other people's. It's really great for everybody else. It doesn't work for me. And so now I'm just kind of like, he even admits in the thing I saw last week, oh, I got huge ratings. It boosts my career. It made me way bigger. And so he starts texting me more, so I text him back. And say, yeah, I'll look at it, but I'm not going to, you know, interview your imam first. I'll talk to you. And I said, and we'll probably do it off my regular show so it can be commercial free. But you know, we'll still probably take a few breaks. And he goes, I don't do stuff for shekels like you. We don't have breaks. Well, wait a minute. You do super chats. You have sponsors. What does that mean? Like if I have ads, because we're traditional media, we're on radio stations and TV, that it's like it's a dirty thing. It's like everything he does. He's like talking to like a ferret on methamphetamine or something. So at a certain point, it's not because I'm scared of him. I feel like any involvement with him turns into a tar baby of deception. And he's so deceptive and so slimy. I feel like I'm participating in a lie, even talking to him. So what do you know about this scumbag?
Well, he's a freak and he's really gone off the deep end. When I met him, he was a relatively normal guy. He was like trying to be the next Casey Neistat. He was trying to be a vlogger on YouTube. We talked about conspiracy theories. He's a yay fan like I am, like we all are, and a little bit right wing Trump guy, that sort of thing. And what has happened over the past couple of years is he's become this like totally brainwashed Muslim. And a lot of people look at him. And I think maybe they expect this because he's brown. So he kind of looks the part a little bit, but you forget he's like a Filipino kid from Connecticut. He's born and raised in Connecticut. He went to a private school, I think in Vermont or New Hampshire, and he was raised Catholic. And then somewhere along the way, he got brainwashed by these Muslims. And now he's just like the pass around boy at Mecca. He's the pass around boy with all these British UK Muslims. And it's very disturbing and weird. Like I said, when I met him, he was LARPing as like, oh, I'm a New Yorker. It's like you're from Connecticut, whatever. He was like a COVID truther, Trump guy, YouTuber. We kind of all got along, him, me, Zerka, Andrew Tate, that whole crew. And then, like I said, he just got brainwashed by these people. And now he thinks he's one of them. He's wearing the pajamas, wearing the hat. And everything. And the other thing I know about him, which is funny, he loves to go around accusing everybody else of being a grifter, taking the shekels, whatever. He's on Kick. He makes all his money on Kick. And the only reason Kick is in business is because of Stake. The Kick platform is subsidized 100% by Stake, which is a gambling site. How do you think they do the Kick creator program or the Kick partner program? How do you think those people get paid? They get paid from the proceeds of all the kids that watch the live streams and then go and start playing the digital slot machines or go and start doing all the other digital gambling.
It's a gateway drug. And that's why I love how, even in private messages, condescending me how I'm immoral because I have ads when this guy's all about money. I mean, it's just very, and he'll also, when I've watched him, he'll just start, like he has Tourette's syndrome, he'll be like, and I told this guy, F you, GD that, and they'll go, Kalahalamikad, Gilaba, Himaga, So Isalamilupalika, Bulu, Kilabulu. And I'm just like, what the hell's going on here?
He's a freak. He's a freak, and he loves getting on the high horse about all that stuff. I want to say, why don't you call out your friend Ye? Why don't you call it? He loves to call everybody else out. He calls out Clavicular, calls out Neon, you, me, with the purity test. How about our friend Ye? Our mutual friend Ye apologized to the Jews multiple times. The apology was written by Dove Charney, who's Jewish. Why don't we see the same purity test on his brother Ye? Is it maybe because Ye is the most famous person he knows? Well, why don't we hear that when Ye goes and performs Carnival, which is I'm the new Jesus and all this other stuff, where's the disavowal? Where's the mighty high horse and moral fagging about that? You never see it. He only goes after people that he thinks are not famous, people that he thinks he can't milk them for content anymore. So I love that going around. He wants a purity spiral and moral police everybody. He won't do it for his little buddy over there. Why? Because that guy's still got a little bit of notoriety he can milk.
Well, that's it. But I mean, he's the one that had me on and made money out of it and then ghost me and then turns around and says, I'm scared, but then implies I'm doing this for money. I need money to operate. You're damn right. But I don't do it for money or I'd assault the system. But speaking of that, what is your view of, you know, you've been friends, you're loyal. Why do you think Ye did that apology tour? What do you think's going on?
Well, you know, here's the thing about that. The difference is I see Ye as making a pragmatic move. I'm totally in favor of pragmatism. I defend Clavicular when he does some of that stuff. I defended Sneeko when he did some of that stuff. When Sneeko didn't want to talk about Israel and Jews because he was begging Aidan Ross for his YouTube channel back, I said, do what's smart. I said, you know, if that's your career move, maybe that's the move right now. And so I think that what happened with Ye, seeing it up close and personal, is that he basically just got completely throttled. He ran into a situation where there was just nowhere to go. They wouldn't let him perform at any stadiums. They wouldn't let him have any of his money back. They wouldn't clear any samples for the music. You know, when you make a rap song, you sample other songs, you chop and splice up.
So we did a reset. Absolutely. And since he made that move, wouldn't you call that kind of the dam breaking where you and he were on together with the I Love Hitler stuff? Didn't that break the spell of it? I've talked to some high level people in media, some top people. They've all separately brought up that moment was what broke the spell where it was okay to call out, the Israel Zionist power.
Yes, I mean, that literally was the first action, because October 7th didn't happen until a year later. People attribute so much of it to October 7th, but before even that, Ye and I were on your show talking about Netanyahu and Hitler and all that, and, you know, he did a whole press tour before that, and he had his rampage on Twitter, even up until last year when he did Heil Hitler. So, and I also think, you know, Ye is somebody who is very progressive in the sense that he's always trying to get to the next big thing, create, innovate the next big thing. It got to the point where he felt like he was beating a dead horse.
Avant-garde.
It's like, okay. Yeah. He said, I've been saying this for 3 years. People get it, you know, okay, swastika t-shirt, Heil Hitler, you know, people get it. You know, I've said it for 3 years and now the point has been made and now it's time to go back to making music. So that was kind of the play. And yeah, I credit him really for kind of starting that whole wave. He was first, like he is with everything, to kind of make the move on that stuff. And you and I were there for it as well. So,
well, just to make Sneeko happy, and it's more of a joke, but seriously, I did ask you before you came on when you were on the line, and now I'm not afraid of interviewing this guy. The way he tries to set the rules, the way he changes the rules, I take it like he thinks he's pimping me. You know, he's in charge or something. And I just find the whole thing to be revolting. So I think because of his disrespect, I'm not going to interview you with your imam. You should be able to debate me by yourself, Sneeko. Okay. And then I'm a man of my word. After I take you on the show and slap you around for 2 hours and run you into the ground. And by the way, I said commercial free and I said, he gets 5 minutes. I get 5 minutes because I don't want any weaveling around here. He's like, oh no, I want free flow. I want free flow. So I will interview your imam and one other person. I'll do two more interviews because I'll be happy to wipe the floor with your imam with Islam's record. How about, is Islam good or bad? Is Islam a totalitarian or is it, you know, freedom? That he wants, you know, obviously that's what it's about. So let me ask you, should I interview, or should I debate Sneeko again? Or should I give him what he wants and have his imam on and whoever else he has, like I'm his little bitch first?
What if we did a 3v3? What if we did like a you, me, maybe like a Sam Shamoon versus him and then his top guys? Because we really need to bring this Muslim thing to heel. I'm really sick of these towel heads and camel jockeys running around. They want to monopolize the Israel conversation. They want to monopolize all this kind of stuff. I think we kind of need to like put it to bed and finally put this religion to rest. And I think it's only going to happen if
sure.
it's
who
like,
would
a,
put it on?
Like a full frontal attack.
Who would put it on? I mean,
I don't know.
Brandon Strzok's a really good guy. I know you're saying, you know, his debate wasn't heavyweight.
Maybe PBD. Maybe Patrick Bet-David.
Let's do that.
Yeah. That might be good.
Well, hey, I'll call him up. I know you've got his number. Let's invite Sneeko and his goofy imam on. And so what should be 2-on-2, 3-on-3? What do you think?
We got to bring Sam. They're all afraid of Sam Shamoon. I got a buddy. I got an Assyrian friend. He's trying to build this bridge between us because me and him don't have like a great relationship. But all the Muslims are afraid of this guy. You know, he knows the Quran. He speaks Arabic. Cause they, you know, they always want to bring on their Dawah guys. Their Dawah guys go out in New York City and they basically do this for a living. They defend Islam. They defend the religion. They know all the tricks, whatever. And so they want to get, you know, people like you or me that don't debate religion for a living. Let's bring on Sam Shamoon. He's the one they're all afraid of. He's the one they're all running from.
No.
And let's even the playing field.
Yeah. There you go, Sneeko. I don't know who your imam is. And that's what they do as street preachers. They argue from their point of view. Islam is a political takeover plan. So that I'll give you how I'm going to do it, Sneeko. I'm going to read out of the Quran. I'm going to show who invaded Europe for 700 years, that the Crusades were a response to that. I'm going to sit there and bring up them marrying 8-year-olds on CNN. I mean, it's so easy to defeat Islam. I mean, I just can't wait. I mean, because it's absolutely indefensible. And I'm glad you've been very clear here that just because we're against Israel hegemony doesn't mean we support Islamic hegemony. And I think that's a huge new, you know, it's an old fight, but really a fight that's coming front and center about America first rejects Islam.
Well, yes, it's an innovation because we need to start taking our own side. I'm not on team Muslim. I'm not on team Jew and Israel. I'm on team Christianity. I'm on team America. And that's really what it is. People of America need to understand our past in order for us to win the future. That's really what it comes down to. When you look at the Jews and their holidays, they're still talking about Egypt and Babylon and the Roman Empire and Spanish Inquisition. It's still in their mind that they are their own team against us. And same with Muslims. Muslims are still looking at it as them versus the world and them versus Christendom and them versus Rome. And us stupid white people or Christians or Westerners, people are out there smoking pot, hanging out, joining the communists, joining the Muslims. They're with Will Chamberlain on one side of the debate, defending Israel takeover. We need to form up our own team. And it's like, the second that we raise the consciousness of our people, which is the Greeks, the Romans, the church, once we raise the consciousness of our people, there's just no question. We're the most powerful. We're the largest. We're the best. It's just a question of getting everybody on the same page and getting everybody on the same team. So I'm all in favor of that. I'm actually glad it happened. I'm glad that, you know, Dan Bilzerian, he's another one that joined up with the Muslims. His ancestors are being raped to death by Muslims. Now he wants to go and suck them off. Now he wants to go and hang out with CARE. It's like we have to reject that. So I'm glad, actually, that some of these divisions happened because they needed to refine this movement and make it truly America first. That's the only way America first can be.
I totally agree. All right. I'm supporting what you're doing because I know you got big plans coming. Great apparel, Fuentes.store. Nick. Incredible times. I do want to debate those guys. I'm very happy to debate them because since Sneeko needs to bring a posse and bring his mommy and his daddy to this, well, then I have to bring Nick there to protect me and this other guy who I don't know who he is, but I'm sure he's interesting. So let's see if Patrick Bet-David, I know he'll love to do that, and I don't think we should wait. I think we should have it before the midterms. I think we should be out in Florida on the east coast of Florida, what, by the end of the month? What do you think?
Let's do it. Yeah, I'm all in. Let's make it happen. Let's bring Islam to heel.
Okay, well, I will talk to Sneeko. I think I should. Sneeko, I'm not going to have you with your imam with me. That's taken away because you were rude. I offered that because you were scared. You have to face me like a big boy. This is a little hors d'oeuvre ahead of your clocks getting cleaned in Florida, but it's on. I know Patrick Bet-David will do it, and if you don't do it, you're a coward. Nick J. Fuentes on Rumble, Nick J. Fuentes on X, and Fuentes.store. There it is right there. And Nick, I really appreciate your time. Powerful, powerful interview today. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
All right, let me say bye to you during the break. I'm going to call you at 4:30. All right, Harrison Smith's coming in loaded for bear. He's a little pro-Israel. We're getting him straight, but he's coming in here right now. We'll balance it out with some pro-Israel guests, pro-Israel hosts, coming up straight ahead with Harrison Smith.
All right, folks, let's go to our first caller. Bill!
Living Haas in Fort Worth, Texas. You're on the air, partner. Hit me.
Woohoo, Alex! Never thought I'd be on the horn with you, but I just had to call in about this methylene blue. Hell, this here blue juice done got this old cowboy feeling like a spring colt again. Keep pouring it out, partner!
Now that's what I want to hear! We're doing the best show and giving you the best products, and you can get them all at the AlexJonesStore.com!
Woo-wee!
The age of men is over! Your walls will fall, your people will scream, and your freedom will choke on our blades!
I will never kneel! I will never fall! I fight for the free people of this world, for truth, for blood, and for the last light of humanity. Rise with me!
I want to make a massive announcement right now. I mean, this is just bonker town. What it does is just... I feel 20 years younger. I'm not kidding you! Ultra Methylene Blue. Blue.
I know. Blue. I love it. This stuff works, man.
I just can't shut up about it, up about it, up about it, up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue, 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 blue. I mean, this is just bonker town.
I know, I love it.
I just can't shut up about it, up about it, up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue, 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 blue. I just can't shut up about it, up about it, up about it, up about it. Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. It is just beyond spectacular.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.